Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be with you here tonight on Friday. Casual Friday is with us. It is the end of the week. I feel like it's been a while since we've done a Casual Friday episode because, of course, I wasn't here last Friday or the Friday before, right? Because it was Thanksgiving. And that sounds right to me. So it's been some time since we've had a casual, low-key, relaxed show, but we're back with one tonight. As you can see, I'm wearing a sweater. Had to remove a little hair there. Without a necktie. And that means it's going to be low-key. That means it's going to be a chill stream. I'm in sort of a chill mood. I'm having a very low-key vibe tonight. I've got my sweater on. It's making me cozy. And that's going to be the vibe for the show. So I'm very excited for that. We've got a lot to talk about, even though there's nothing happening in the news. Tonight, our featured story is about Cenk Uygur, is it pronounced? I never know how to pronounce his name, but you guys know Cenk. He is the progressive owner and host on The Young Turks on YouTube. He's running for Congress in California's 25th district, and today, I think it was in the afternoon, somewhere around there, Bernie Sanders endorsed him in his race to replace Katie Hill for her seat. He's running against some assemblywoman in the primary. So he got a big endorsement today from Bernie Sanders, and then people started to give Bernie Sanders a hard time. They said Cenk Uygur is a sexist, and he's made bad comments in the past. Don't you hate when that happens? You hate to see it. And so Bernie Sanders was forced to retract his endorsement, and we'll talk about all that. There's not really much more to it beyond that, but I'll read to you an article about it from the New York Times. I'll give you sort of my take on it, some conclusions we can draw. I have to say, you know, I see Cenk Uygur, and he puts himself out there, and he's a hardcore progressive, and he's been in politics for decades as a grassroots organizer, media guy, and it's just such a shame to see him now running for Congress and to be dogged by things that he said on his show many, many years ago. I really feel bad for him. That really sucks to see that happen to people on the left. It's a real shame. So we'll talk about that. That'll be our main story. Hey, wait a second. Yeah, no wonder. I was looking at my screen. I thought something was off there. I didn't have my lamp on down there. Lighting was a little bit, I don't know if anybody noticed that, but the lighting was a little bit messed up. Now we're good. That'll be our featured story. We'll also be talking tonight about the Democratic debate. I think we're up to, how many are we on now? I think we're at number 6 in December. I'm going to be honest with you, I've lost count because I've covered every single debate since June, and they're all the same. And I said that last time, but they're all the same. So I don't even know where we are at this point. I think it's like 5 or 6. It could be 7. Who knows? Who cares? Who's keeping score here? We've got a December debate coming up. I think it's next week. But they're having some big trouble. People don't even know if they're actually going to have the debate. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight because there's a big strike taking place at the venue for the debate. Some kind of row has broken out between union workers who work at the venue. It's almost completely unrelated to the debate itself, but I guess these food service workers that work at the venue day to day, they are using the debate as an opportunity to bring awareness to their fight against a food vendor that hires them in this contract negotiation. So all 7 candidates that are set to appear in this debate, and only 7 Democratic candidates have qualified, more on that later, all 7 candidates have said that they will not attend the debate. They will boycott the debate if this union fiasco is still going on next week. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Hopefully we don't have a debate, which means I won't have to cover it. So I'm cheering on the union workers. You know what? Those guys working in food service in LA, I stand with them because then that means I don't have to watch another one of these debates. We'll get a reprieve this month, and we won't have to cover one until, I think, January. So, hoping for that. But we've got a great show for you tonight. Before we dive into the current events, I do just kind of want to float something out there. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time on the show, which is that we all know that the show starts every night at 7 o'clock sharp. Now, I don't typically come out to begin the show until a little bit later. And I'm thinking, should we just move the time forward? Because the audience shows up at 7:30. I start the show at 7:30. It probably makes sense to tell people the show starts at 7:30 Central, right? So, you know, for the past like 2 weeks, I've been thinking about it. I've been watching People in the live chat are always complaining. They're like, he's late, he's late. I think everyone knows at this point that the stream starts at 7. I come out at 7:30. We allow the audience to collect over 30 minutes. So, you know, maybe we'll still do things the way we always have, but instead of me saying it's at 7, I could say it's at 7:30. I don't know. Let me know what you think about that in the comments in the live chat. My moderators can tell me what the general sentiment is after the show, because every time I come in, it's like, oh, he's late, he's late, it's late. It's like, don't you understand? That's just kind of the schedule that we have developed at this point. It always seems to be, it's pretty much exact. It's just not the advertised time when the show truly begins. The stream starts at 7, the show starts a little later. So I've been mulling that over. Let me know what you think. You know, instead of saying, we're on the air Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock, what if I said 7:30? The only trick is then I'd have to go in and change all the graphics. You know, what does it say? I think it says, like, in the opening screen, it says 7 o'clock. In the closing screen, it says 7 o'clock. So I'd have to go in and change that. That would be kind of a chore for me. But other than that, it doesn't make much sense to stick by the 7 o'clock. So let me know what you think. Just kind of a housekeeping thing. I know it's like a minor thing, but I know that if I changed it one day, people would, they'd be very confused, you know? So let me know what you think about that. But that's really all I got to say. It's been a very boring week. I don't know if you feel the same way, but, you know, Groiper Wars was going on for like 6 weeks, and it was exciting, it was fun and everything. And honestly, I was eager for it to die down a little bit because it just got to be so crazy and hectic and the spotlight on us and the scrutiny and everything. So I said, you know what, we could have sort of like an ebb and flow to this sort of thing. But now I was like, okay, well, is there something happening in the real world? Is there something happening in the news? Because there's nothing going on with Iran, boring. There's nothing going on with like a government shutdown or immigration, boring. And there's no like big mass casualty events, which is a good thing, but boring. So we're left to do a lot of these. Oh, well, today. So anyway, we're going to dive in. We're going to dive into our current events. We're going to roll with it. We're going to have fun anyway. You know that even if the news sucks, the show is good. Even if the news is boring, the show is good. The show is exciting. It's always informative. It's always fresh, funny, entertaining. You get to watch me. I'm handsome. That helps. I'm entertaining. I have a way with words. They say I have the gift of gab. I can hold your attention. So whether or not the news is good, the show is always good. And that's why you tune every night. That's why you love it, right? That's why you tune in every night. So we're going to dive in. We'll talk about this Democratic debate, like I said. This union thing really isn't even related to the debate itself. I'll read a report about what's happening. This is from, who is this from? I don't even know what I think it's from The Hill or something. It says, next week's Democratic debate is now in jeopardy after all 7 candidates slated to participate said they will refuse to take the stage over a labor strike at the proposed venue. Chaos that comes after the location was already moved once. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Andrew Yang, former Vice President Joe Biden, Tom Steyer, Pete Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar all announced in rapid succession Friday afternoon their plans to sit out the Thursday debate at Loyola Marymount University if the college's food service workers are picketing. Elizabeth Warren tweeted on Friday, quote, I stand with them. The DNC should find a solution that lives up to our party's commitment to fight for working people. I will not cross the union's picket line, even if it means missing the debate. Sanders immediately followed with his own tweet in support of the workers of Unite Here Local 11, a labor union representing the hospitality and food service workers at the university. A spokesman for the DNC said they only learned of the issue earlier Friday and said they are working on a solution. They say, quote, while LMU is not a party to the negotiations between Sodexo and Unite Here Local 11, Tom Perez would absolutely not cross a picket line and would never expect our candidates to do so either, according to DNC Communications Director Jokatil Hinosa. Hinojosa, some very Latin, and I mean Latin, like Roman Latin, like a very native indigenous American name. It says, he says, we are working, I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl, because the first name starts with an X. So I don't even know if we're dealing with a boy or a girl, this comms director. The name is X-O-C-H-I-T-L. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Anyway, this individual says, we are working with all stakeholders to find an acceptable resolution that meets their needs and is consistent with our values and will enable us to proceed as scheduled with next week's debate. The debate was initially scheduled to be held at the University of California, Los Angeles, but the DNC canceled the location on November 6th over ongoing labor disputes there between the university and AFS-CME Local 3299, which I guess was another union strike or something like that. LMU was picked as the alternative site. Local 11 announced Friday it would protest the debate's second site because contract negotiations have stalled between the union and Sodexo, which runs food operations for students and employees at LMU's campus. About 150 dishwashers, cashiers, cooks, and servers are affected by the union dispute. Susan Minato, the co-president of the union, said, quote, we had hoped that workers would have a contract with wages and affordable health insurance before the debate next week. Instead, workers will be picketing when the candidates come to campus. A union rep told Fox News the food service employees had been working without a contract for several weeks and had already held several pickets in an attempt to force school leaders to provide them with better wages, benefits, and working conditions. So we're not going to have a Democratic debate in December, potentially because you've got this completely unrelated strike happening with food service workers working at the school, LMU. And because it's taking place the same day as the debate, all these Democratic candidates have come out and said they will not cross the picket line. They will not participate in the debate. And, you know, to me, this is just absolute chaos. You know, understand, this is the second venue for this DNC debate. They were supposed to have their debate at UCLA, and because of a union dispute there, they had to move it over to this LMU school, and now they can't do it there because there's a labor dispute over wages and health benefits and so on, and now all the candidates have come out, and as I said, in rapid succession today in the afternoon, each with their own very compelling, riveting statement about how they will not participate in a debate. We have to stand up for workers' rights and blah, blah, blah. We have to live up to our values. And, you know, to me, it's like this is a microcosm of what it's like living in a left-wing country. Just that everything is ground to a halt because of these kinds of popular movements, because of workers, because of virtue signaling candidates. You know, to me, I think it kind of spells out pretty clearly what the country's going to look like once these people get in charge, when they can't even host these debates without how many different boycotts, how many different controversies over polling numbers and superdelegates and now labor disputes. To me, the most ridiculous thing about this is that this labor dispute doesn't even have anything to do with the debate itself. They're holding the debate on this campus, and in a completely unrelated dispute, you've got food service workers battling with this company, Sodexo, presumably over what's happening in the cafeteria. So it's totally different, and yet they will be using this debate. They're throwing themselves in front of this debate in order to achieve publicity for their little workers' rights campaign. And now, of course, Elizabeth Warren and Sanders and all these people that pay lip service to left-wing economics and so on, they've got to pretend like they're very invested in this. And honestly, I guess it makes sense. You know, these debates, as I've established for the past few months, aren't really helping anybody. They're not really hurting anybody. They're also not really helping anybody. You know, we've watched like five of these things, five rounds, seven actual nights of debates. And in seven debates, I really haven't seen anybody meaningfully rise and fall as a result of what's been said or what's happened in these different contests. They're not really moving the needle. I think everybody understands that they go to these things, and you could hardly even describe it as a debate because they fundamentally all agree on the same issues. So I think they've basically calculated that there's really nothing to lose by not participating in the debate, and if they can virtue signal about this, they can prove their stripes, that they're in favor of workers or they're in favor of unions or something like this. But you understand that on a certain level, it's all just a big show. You understand that this is all just a big farce. You know, I'm reading through the tweets, and you could look it up. It's on Twitter Moments. It's on a number of different news sites. They've compiled all the different tweets from the seven candidates, who are set to appear here. And every tweet is about how, you know, I will not be crossing the picket line. I stand with working people in America. I stand with unions and so on. And to me, it's so rich because we know this is all just a big presentation. We know this is all just a big performance. It's all theatrical. Because not any single person that wants to appear on that stage actually cares about working people, right? You know, when they talk about, for example, tariffs, or they talk about free trade, or they talk about mass migration, just about every single policy in the Democratic Party platform is designed. It's not accidental or incidental. It is designed to undercut unions. It is designed to undercut working class people in America. So on top of the fact that it's a farce, on top of the fact that it's ridiculous, you've got a totally unrelated worker dispute that's shitting up the Democratic election and they're all phony anyway. On top of that, I find it rich that now they're all going to come out and say, we're in favor of workers, we're in favor of the working class. Really? I wouldn't be able to find that out by looking at the campaign platform. You know, and this is sort of a nice tie-in with what we talked about last night about Boris Johnson. You know, if you look at any of the exit polling or any of the different, what are they called, counties or whatever in the United Kingdom, a lot of different parts of the United Kingdom that were left-wing, that did vote Labour but flipped to the Tories, flipped conservative, they were all white working-class districts. They were all white working-class cities and towns. And people are realizing in the United Kingdom, just like they are in the United States, that the left, while they might have the rhetoric of the working class, you know, while Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren can say they're against millionaires and billionaires, ultimately, what do their policies of demographic and economic globalism, who do those policies benefit except for millionaires and billionaires? You know, look no further than Barack Obama. All these different people are fighting over essentially Barack Obama's legacy on healthcare, right? Barack Obama introduced Obamacare. This radically transformed how healthcare works in the United States. And they're all debating over what direction they want to take that in next. Do they want to do Medicare for all? Do they want to do Medicare for all who want it? And if you actually look at Obamacare, this is something that benefited almost exclusively the big insurance companies, right? If you looked at Obamacare the day it passed, I forget the exact figures, but the top four biggest insurance companies in the country, their valuation on the stock market rose exponentially the day after it passed. You know, you look at things like mass immigration, and we've gone over, we've done whiteboards, we've looked at the economics. If you look at supply and demand, very simply, immigration is not good for working class people. I actually brought out a pretty novel statistic in a recent speech I did in Iowa, which I don't think I've covered on the show. But if you look at immigration, when people talk about how immigration is great for our economy, and this is what even people like Andrew Yang say on the Democratic stage. So it's the consensus in the Democratic Party from Warren to Sanders to Yang, outsiders, insiders, establishment, progressive. Everybody in the Democratic Party is in favor of mass immigration. And not only are they in favor of mass immigration, but they say that mass immigration is good for the economy. It's good for the country. And I found a very interesting statistic recently that shows that if you're looking at the short-run surplus from mass immigration, I've used this statistic before, the short-run surplus from mass immigration is $2 trillion added to the economy, $2 trillion added to the GDP. If you actually break down that number very carefully, it's interesting because that $2 trillion surplus, that's only what you get off the top, right? Surplus meaning after you account for all the costs of mass immigration, you're left with a $2 trillion surplus on top of that, right? And you know, aside from that, we can look at the surplus itself and we can find that most of the surplus, the benefits of it accrue to the immigrants. It's only $50 billion of that surplus that actually goes towards people that were in the country prior to the immigration. That notwithstanding, if you actually break down that surplus from immigration, it's ignoring all the costs. Like I said, the $2 trillion is off the top that you benefit on top of after you account for all these different wealth transfers and everything else that takes place. The $2 trillion surplus ultimately benefits the people that employ immigrants. You know, what people do not realize is that you're getting this huge surplus, but you're not factoring in all the costs, and the costs come to the people that are working jobs that are taken by immigrants, or working jobs that immigrants are coming in and flooding the zone with additional labor. And all the benefits accrue to the people that are hiring the immigrants. So if you say you have a $2 trillion surplus, that's like half the story. That's what's left after all the costs. but the benefits and the costs do not affect the same people. The costs affect the workers. Immigrants come in and they take away the native jobs, or they depress wages for people working in those working class or lower wage fields. And the benefits accrue to the people employing those people. So it's the billionaires, it's the millionaires, it's the immigrants themselves. So we can look at immigration and really just about any way you slice it, in terms of the budget, in terms of the economy, even if you break down the surplus itself, it doesn't factor in the fact that what immigration does, and this is an important thing everyone should pay attention to, what immigration does is transfer wealth from workers that compete with immigrants to firms and businesses that employ immigrants. That's what mass immigration does. Mass immigration transfers wealth from workers that compete with immigrants to firms and businesses that employ immigrants. And so all of this is to say, to bring it back to this debate, I read these tweets from Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and they're so dramatic about it. You know, what do they say? Warren says, "I stand with them. The DNC should find a solution that lives up to our party's commitment to fight for working people. I will not cross the union's picket line, even if it means missing the debate." Oh, like that's some huge sacrifice. Completely ignoring the fact that every single plank of the Democratic Party's platform is designed to undermine workers' rights, workers' wages, and everything else. And it's actually, like I said, it's a very nice time with what we saw yesterday and the whiteboard I did yesterday. You know, yesterday I discussed in great detail why the Republican Party should move to the left on economics, should try to have a more populist appeal on economics rather than a free market or libertarian or whatever appeal, to move towards specifically targeting and pandering to unions, working class whites, people like that. There's a huge market for that because this stuff is obvious and these policies are indefensible when it comes to wages and all the rest. So I see what's going on, this whole debate fiasco. It's obviously ridiculous political theater. It's hard for me to believe that there are people out there that even take this seriously. Do you know what I mean? Because I see these tweets from like Pete Buttigieg and all these big political people getting so dramatic about workers' rights. And it's hard for me to believe that there are even people out there that buy this. You know, there are people that are unironically following Pete Buttigieg, and they really believe that Pete Buttigieg is like an authentic, like he's a real guy that really cares about working class people and not just like a lizard. You know, he's not just like somebody who wanted to be president his whole life and he did everything he needed to. You know, he went to he went to Oxford, he was a Rhodes Scholar, he's in the military, and so on, checked all the boxes, now I can have ultimate power, right? Or Elizabeth Warren, or any of these people, that they're not all just like demons, essentially. So it's all a farce, but I think it really does warrant further examination when the Democrats talk about workers and unions and so on. Republicans should be listening. We should steal that appeal, because at this point, our policies across the board are what working class people want, economically and culturally. I know we're sort of repetitive from what we said yesterday, but it's a very nice tie-in, especially when I hear this, because I know this appeal is totally phony, and people are starting to pick up on that. You know, maybe these food service workers in Los Angeles, I don't think that's exactly who we're trying to appeal to. You know, I think about food service workers in Los Angeles and I get a certain idea in my head. But if you're talking about like old school union people, old school working class people, people in mining, people in agriculture, people in manufacturing, people in states like Montana, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan, these are people where you can hijack all this stuff and we can authentically put it out there. We can authentically fight for the things they care about, which is, workers' rights and economic benefits, things like paid maternity leave, healthcare, all that, fighting for less immigration, trade deals. We can inherit all of that. So there's sort of a lesson in this, but that's a debate. The real benefit, of course, the real takeaway is we don't have to watch another debate in December, which I'm glad about. And I have to say, this debate would have been a little bit interesting because, of course, they've narrowed down the field a little bit more since the last one. You know, this field just like doesn't take a hit. I feel like we have just had the same candidates for like a year now. I mean, it's almost literally a year that Elizabeth Warren, she announced her exploratory committee in January of this year. So this race is literally already a year old and it's not even 2020 yet, right? But we went from 20 candidates in the first debate to 20 in the second debate to, I think, like, what, 12 or something in the third, and then there was 13 or something in the fourth debate. I forget the exact numbers, but they've narrowed it down to 7. From the last debate, I guess Cory Booker and Tulsi Gabbard did not qualify for the December debate, and they were in the previous one, and Kamala Harris has since dropped out. So it would have been interesting to see the dynamic. I guess one noted commentator pointed out that there will be no non-white people on the stage if they were to hold this debate. Maybe that's why they called it off, because that would have been kind of bad optics. That there's no, isn't that kind of funny, though, that the Democrats have positioned themselves at like the party of diversity and so on, and I think for a long time, they would ask all the white candidates, like, why should we elect another white person? And lo and behold, all the non-white people have either dropped out or they didn't qualify. Didn't seem to cut it, you know. It really makes you think. But so it would have been a little bit different than the previous debates, but nonetheless, not something I would have wanted to watch. So maybe we dodged a bullet there, but I guess we'll see. I'll let you know about what that's going to look like next week. Maybe they'll get the labor dispute sorted out. Maybe not. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about Cenk Uygur a little bit. And, I didn't even really know that this guy was running for Congress, but you guys know Cenk Uygur. He's the head of the Young Turks, which is a pretty popular, pretty famous, progressive, hardcore left-wing YouTube network. I think they also have, like, their own website. I don't know the whole extent of their operation, but I think they're one of the bigger political channels on YouTube. And Cenk Uygur's been around forever. I mean, this guy's been around for, I think, like, 2 decades or something like that. Kind of hard to believe at this point, but he's now running for office in California's 25th district, I think it is. He's running to replace Katie Hill, which, if you remember, she is the congresswoman, first term congresswoman, who had all those pictures leaked of her where she was like having like threesomes and kissing women, and she had like a tattoo and smoking pot. Very weird stuff. So he's running to replace her in her seat, and he's gotten a lot of pushback from the left because of things that he said in the past. Even though he's a hardcore progressive and so on, you're on YouTube for 20 years, they're going to have clips, right? As is the case with everybody, I have a lot of experience with this. They've got clips of him defending like bestiality and saying things that are sexist and misogynist and so on. So he's been getting a lot of pushback, but today he actually got a pretty big endorsement from Bernie Sanders. And because of this, there was even more pushback. Everybody started going after Bernie, and they said, how could you endorse somebody like this, and so on. And I'll read to you, this is from the New York Times, about what ensued as a result of this endorsement. It says, on Thursday, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont endorsed Cenk Uygur, a progressive talk show host running for a California congressional seat, who has a history of making offensive comments about women, Jews, Muslims, and other groups. I love to see that when it's somebody except for me. Do you know how much I love that? Do you know how delicious that is for me to see this being written about somebody else, but somebody from the left? That's how they introduce him. Endorsed Cenk Uygur, a progressive talk show host running for blah, 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 but also has a history of making offensive comments about women, Jews, Muslims, and other groups. Like, that's how he's known now. It's not progressive Cenk Uygur. It's not radio host Cenk Uygur. It's Cenk Uygur, who makes offensive comments about Jews and women. Yeah, I love to see that. It says, but he withdrew the endorsement a day later after facing considerable backlash for his decision, and after Mr. Uygur made an announcement of his own, he was no longer accepting endorsements of any kind. So Cenk Uygur said, quote, going forward from today, I will not accept endorsements, so it means Bernie Sanders has not endorsed me, adding that he did not want to damage his potential backers. The backing for Mr. Sanders, a leading candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, came in what was already proved to be a heated battle in the race to replace former Representative Katie Hill, who stepped down earlier this year. Mr. Sanders had called Mr. Uygur, the founder and co-host of the online talk show The Young Turks, quote, a voice we desperately need in Congress, in a statement on Thursday. He said, quote, I know he will serve ordinary people, not powerful special interests. But by Friday afternoon, he had reconsidered. Sanders said, quote, our movement is bigger than any one person. I hear my grassroots supporters who are frustrated and understand their concerns. Cenk today is rejecting all endorsements for his campaign, and I retract my endorsement. Mr. Uygur, who lives outside the district, is running against Christy Smith, a state assemblywoman who has represented the area for years. Ms. Smith has received the backing of many prominent Democrats in the state, including the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Her campaign has called attention to Mr. Uygur's long history of crude comments, many of which are being regularly reposted by her supporters. For example, in 2017, Mr. Uyghur was forced out of the group Justice Democrats, a group he co-founded that backs progressive congressional candidates around the country, after his old blog posts objectifying women came to light. Mr. Uyghur's long history of comments about women included ranking them on a scale of 1 to 10, based on how likely men would be to have them perform oral sex. He also defended a similar ranking by Harvard's men's soccer team, which was widely condemned at the time. The whore. What a terrible guy. What a horrible person. Ranking women from 1 to 10? Absolutely despicable. Mr. Uyghur, a longtime supporter of Mr. Sanders, has also disparaged former President Barack Obama on his show, argued that bestiality should be legal, and hosted white supremacist figures, including David Duke. In one clip that circulated on Twitter, Mr. Duke ends an interview, and by the way, I'm reading this, that's not my characterization. Mr. Duke ends an interview by saying, "I'm not what you would call a racist," to which Mr. Uyghur replies, "No, of course not." Uyghur called the clip a complete smear. Huh? Really? He called it a complete smear that had been taken out of context from a combative one-hour interview in which he pushed back on Mr. Duke. Well, that sucks. What? You mean the media? You mean a political rival took something you said on the internet years ago, took it out of context, and used it to smear you? What? That's outrageous! How could they do that? He said he had already apologized for and disavowed many of his past statements, and that didn't work. And he had called the criticism he was facing incredibly unfair, driven by the corporate Democrats and to some extent corporate media. Wow, well, somebody has to do something about this. You're telling me that the corporate media, you're telling me that the globalist monoparty and the globalist media is digging up old YouTube quotes, using out-of-context statements to smear and character assassinate people that want legitimate change, legitimate reform in the system? What? What? I wish I had known about this. Man, somebody has to do something about that. We should be out there picketing. We should be out there protesting. Why didn't anybody tell me this was going on? So, of course, you know, you love to see it happen. You love to see this. And to me, it's not really a story so much about Cenk Uygur and Bernie Sanders and an endorsement. But to me, this is just about the game that is played. This is the game that is played with everybody on the right. We know this. We know it's played on everybody to the right of, like, Marco Rubio. It's like, if you don't support Israel, if you're not on board with egalitarianism, and if you're not on board with the free market, we know on the right that you're in the crosshairs, not just from the left, but also from the right too. You know, of course, there's a parallel here, that in the same way that Cenk Uygur is, in my opinion, a disruptor on the left, obviously he's a hardcore progressive, a hardcore leftist, and so on, but at least from what I understand, and I'm not a huge fan of his content, so I don't know for sure, but from what I understand, he's pretty anti-war, he's pretty legitimate when it comes to opposing donors and, you know, these sort of establishment democratic forces. So when you have somebody on the left that's actually disruptive and moving against the Democratic Party and trying to disrupt the status quo and change things, even though it's kind of hard to do that as a progressive because progressivism is the status quo, but you understand what I'm saying. There is inter-party, you know, battles going on the left. So he's trying to disrupt over there. And of course, what do they resort to? It's the same character assassination tactic. It's the same old, we found this old clip, we found this old thing you said. And it doesn't matter the context, it doesn't matter if you disavowed, it doesn't matter if you apologized, you said something at one point that doesn't sound good, and now your life is over. You said something at one point in time, it's on the internet's forever, and nothing else matters, the words escaped your lips, and now you cannot do anything else. You cannot host, or you cannot found the Justice Democrats, you cannot run for Congress, you cannot get endorsements, you're done, you're out. And we know the parallel. We know that the same thing. Is this not exactly what has happened to us in the last 2 to 3 months? Or more specifically, I should say, me and Michelle Malkin and Patrick Casey and Scott Greer and just about everybody in this movement, Vince James, Jake Lloyd, everybody, right? We are disruptors in the Republican Party. We're even using the same anti-establishment, you know, America first nationalistic rhetoric of the president, who is the head of the Republican Party. That's, you know, just how it works. The president's the head of the party. We're using the same rhetoric. We're using the sort of prevailing, the nominal ideology of the party. And because we are truly disruptors, what do? The same tactics. And, you know, to me, like with the other thing, there's sort of a lesson in this. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this these past couple of weeks about what is the future? What is the future for a legitimate movement that's going to be disrupting the establishment? And it's very interesting because you see that on the right, obviously, there's a much greater chance that this succeeds than there is on the left. And it's very simply because of things like what we're seeing with Cenk Uygur. On the left, they have been complicit in the creation of these impossible political correctness standards, right? Cenk Uygur, for example, has made videos about me in this show, saying that I'm racist and I'm whatever. They have played the same game of taking people out of context and so on. They have participated in the same game of the so-called cancel culture and wokeness on the left, whatever you want to call it. We know that this is the left's game. The left has innovated. They have invented this of the smear campaign, of the, you know, you're unpersoned because of something you said that was offensive. And so I see disruption happening on the right. And in some sense, progressives could be right on some issues, right? A lot of them are anti-war. They're anti the military-industrial complex. They're anti neocon Zionist wars. They're anti, in a lot of cases, big business, right? They're calling out even a lot of the corruption of people like Hillary Clinton. Cenk Uygur did not endorse Hillary Clinton. But the reason that populism will never work on the left is because they have helped the neoliberal New World Order create the same system that they are now trying to play in. They're trying to play ball with all these people after they have helped them create these rules that are impossible for us to play in. You know, the racist, whatever, the PC machine. The reason that we stand a chance at actually being disruptive on the right is because we have created the opposite. You know, and that's why I think a lot of people wrote about how Charlie Kirk had created like Frankenstein's monster. Because him and a lot of his people in the college speaking circuit, you know, the college campus organizations, people even like Ben Shapiro, they pioneered the idea of the dangerous ideas, the dangerous political conversation, being against political correctness, saying offensive things, and saying offensive things, that being virtuous in itself, melting snowflakes, whatever. So it's almost like you see these two competing influences right on the left. They have gone hardcore woke, they've gone hardcore PC police and so on, and on the right, they've done the opposite. And this is where I think you can see which side is more viable to buck the system. It's almost like a weird, like, horseshoe theory type thing. Not exactly, but in the sense that obviously there is an establishment on the right and there's an establishment on the left. There are forces, to some extent, on the right and the left that recognize the establishment collusion on both sides, and therefore there are dissidents on both sides that are trying to disrupt that. I think you've got progressives that recognize that, you know, establishment Democrats are in bed with all the same people that the establishment right is, in the same way that we as reactionaries and dissident rightists recognize the same thing. The difference is they can do nothing about this because the minute that they step into the battlefield, they're going to get crushed by the system that they helped. It's like we say about people like Jared Holt or Christopher Mathias or Will Somers, any of these characters. They can say they're for the people all day long. It's just like with this worker strike at the DNC debate. They can pay lip service to all this populist stuff all they like. They're carrying water for the globalists more than anybody else in the world. You know, who do you think it benefits when you're advocating for, basically androgynous, polyamorous people that don't own property, right? And they're not physically strong and they, you know, they basically have no power. They don't own firearms. Who do you think that helps in the end? And so to me, I see the future as populism. Like I said the other day, the future is populism against billionaires, it's against corporations, it's against Silicon Valley, it's against the status quo. And who is poised to be the vanguard for that populist reaction? The left simply will not be able to do it. They cannot defeat their own system that they have created. We on the right are the opposite because of, I think, very skilled optical strategy, persuasion strategy from a concerted group of people, a concerted effort by people on the America First right. I think we are the people best positioned to hijack and take over workers' rights, anti-establishment, all this kind of stuff that you see happening on the left to some extent, but failing miserably. So I see this stuff with Cenk Uygur, and I see the DNC debate, and I'm seeing the bigger picture. I'm seeing the bigger trends. You know, I say, trust the plan, trust the plan. This is the bigger picture that we are trying to lean into. You know, I've said this before, the arc of history is long, but the arc of history bends towards America First. It bends towards the kinds of things that we're talking about on the show, that Tucker Carlson talks about on his show, I really think this is the future of American politics. And Cenk Uygur crashing and burning should be a case in point. The real test now for us is if we have something comparable, but for somebody on the right. And I don't know who that person will be. Who will be the answer to a Cenk Uygur? Who will be in some capacity an answer to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Which, she's a little bit different because she's in some sense in bed with the establishment, or used to be. You know, will it be Joey Salads? Will it be Laura Loomer? Will it be, you know, some of the various other people that have announced their runs for office? Who could possibly do it? But I think that there is a proof in concept. If somebody like Cenk Uygur gets torpedoed and sabotaged by their own sort of PC stuff, if he doesn't get elected, even though he's been a progressive sort of grassroots millennial voice for 2 decades, if he gets torpedoed because he ranked women from 1 to 10 in 2005, but if somebody on the right can get into office and survive a lot of bad things they've said on the internet, whoever that could be, and I'm not trying to, in like a tongue-in-cheek way, indicate that that's me. I'm not old enough to run yet. But if it's somebody else, who knows? Maybe it's Vince James. Maybe it's, I don't know who it could be. Maybe it's somebody we haven't heard of. But if somebody like that could get into office, I think that would be sort of the proof of concept. That would be demonstrative of where we are headed. And that shows us that we would have monopoly on dissent. We would essentially have the only place that you can go. I think it's been this way for a long time, by the way, but I think in a much bigger capacity, we will be the only tent, the only faction that you can go to actually meaningfully challenge the status quo. Because everything to the left of us, they've taken themselves out of the game. Everybody to the left of us has said that if you say certain things, like you're toast, if you've done certain things, like you can't have a career, they've taken themselves out of the game. They've played by the same rules that the establishment has weaponized against populists, against actual dissidents and reactionaries. And because of that, we are the only place that you can go to meaningfully oppose big business, globalism in any capacity, even if you're a leftist. And that is a very, very powerful thing. We should not forget that. So that's Cenk Uygur. That's sort of my takeaway. That might be a little abstract. That might be a little bit intellectual, sort of a hard thing to grasp at this point. But I think we will see in 2020 that what I'm talking about will begin to take shape. I think that will really solidify and become more concrete. And I think people in the establishment will start to take notice of this. But that's sort of what I see playing out, is that Cenk Uygur, for all that he is a leftist and so on, I would consider him an authentic dissident from a progressive angle, in as much as a progressive can be a dissident. I'm using that term very loosely. And somebody like him is being absolutely torpedoed because they've set this impossible standard. And we know that the standard is you kiss the ring, you're okay. You don't kiss the ring, and you get the smear pieces written. You become known as the guy that made offensive comments about Jews and women in every media piece, right? And so when I see somebody like him taken out, I see that there is no future on the left for populism. There's no future on that side for authentically challenging the system. And that's going to be a big liability for them, electorally and in a metapolitical way, in the next couple of decades. So that's Cenk. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. Did I keep my word? Was this a very cozy and low-key stream? I feel like it was almost the opposite. Instead of sort of like a fun and funny chill stream, it was sort of like a very challenging stream, drawing tenuous conclusions about metapolitics. But let's see, we've got Mr. Corgi, of course, who is always first, who says, nothing clever to say tonight. Proceed, good sir. Well, thanks. Foy says, is circumcision a good red pill or cringe to discuss with normies? I think it's a pretty obvious example of Semitic influence on our society, and it's right there every time a man takes a piss. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I think that's a little bit of a stretch to say that circumcision is like an introduction to what, like Jewish influence? I mean, of course I get what you're saying, that obviously circumcision's a Jewish practice and it's widespread in America, but I think that's extremely tenuous. I think that's something that you get red-pilled and then you find out about circumcision, not the other way around. I don't think people are going to be thinking about, like, oh, my penis. Wait a second. What's going on with Israel? Hey, my penis is a certain way. Hey, wait a second. What? Sumner Redstone is Jewish? You know, so I don't know if that's the best. I don't know if it's the optimal approach. Could it be done? Possibly. But, you know, to me, the best, the most obvious is Israel. That to me is, and that's why I talk about that issue, is because to me, that is like the most indefensible aspect of the status quo. It's the most obvious. It's the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C. It's the most blatant. And there's no like wiggle room on the part of the establishment on this. In some cases, like the establishment can give lip service to the things we talk about. They can pay lip service to nationalism. They can pay lip service to whatever. But nobody can give a little bit on Israel. And that to me is like so conspicuous. You can't find anybody saying anything, any little bit of give on Israel's domination of our foreign policy. There's no flexibility on that. And if anything, it's completely the opposite. They're so rigid. It's so dogmatic. It's so over the top, excessive in favor of Zionism. This God bless Israel. Israel's our closest ally. It's like absurd. And so to me, that's like the easiest one. It's like, hey, look, you don't have to buy into anything I'm saying, but get a load of this. I mean, doesn't anybody find anything even suspicious about that? To me, that's the easiest one. Circumcision's probably a bit of a stretch there. Mark says, do you like Home Alone? I don't know. It's been a really long time since I've seen that. But yeah, it's okay, I guess. A Heavy Wash says, we out here farting on wolves. Yeah. NovaCore says, what if Trump actually is Jewish and the new laws are a way to go after the media for anti-Semitic attacks against Trump since he's been unable to get libel laws passed? Wishful thinking, I know. That's not wishful thinking. That's like schizophrenic thinking. What in the world? Yeah, that's some serious like QAnon level theorizing. Yeah, Donald Trump expanded the definition of Judaism to be a nationality because he's Jewish, so then he could go after the media for being anti-Semitic. Like, that, what he's going to announce like tomorrow, hey, I was secretly Jewish this whole time, and now I'm going to use laws? Seriously, maybe you should see a doctor. Maybe you should see a psychologist. That's about the most loopy thing I've heard all day. And I heard somebody say that I was big chemical. I was big agriculture for being against wolves. Trent Manslow says, fuck wolves. Mike says, wolves are only 2% of the animal population, but are responsible for 90% of farm animal murders. It's time we took this question seriously. Fuck wolves. Yeah, this very pressing issue is the, invasive wolf species in the Pacific Northwest, certainly. Magazog says, hey, Nick, have a nice day. Thanks. West Offensive says, an Asian woman and a black man have a baby. Wife. Oh, he's so beautiful, honey. What should we name him? Husband. Pee-pee-poo-poo. Okay. Vinny says, keep Al away from Cenk Uygur. Yeah, yeah. Good point. Creed says, thoughts? Okay. Punished Huey says, is there a way to have only trusted individuals send super chats? Yesterday's and the ones I see right now are awful at best and Fed posting at worst. No, I mean, look, the people send them in. I guess I can sort of like filter out which ones to read and which ones not to read, but it's fun to read all of them, I guess. It's probably easiest to just read all of them. Sam Jones says, I was the guy dating a mild e-girl. You were right. I should have trusted the plan. Take my measly Kiwi bucks. No e-girls ever. Well, thanks for your measly Kiwi dollars. Yeah, I'm always right. I don't know when people are going to realize that. It's like years of people just coming to me and regrettably being like, you were right. You're right about optics, Nick. I was wrong. You're right about femoids. You were right. I was wrong. You're right about, you know, the serious strikes. You were right. I was wrong. When are people going to realize I'm just right about everything? When are people going to realize that my logic is just airtight? Because I'm tired. I'm just tired of, you know, oh, well, you were right. I told you so. I'm tired of that. No e-girls. It's like, it's at every show. And people still defy. Dumbass is TGIF. Yeah, you could say that again. Saber says, thoughts on the philosophical and ideological implications of the absence of the F in way. Okay, very funny. Cringe and Blue Pills says, Nintendo Switch, cringe or based? I don't think it's intrinsically cringe or based. I think it could be based, but it also could be cringe. Nathan says, Nick, do you wear the brown scapular? Would be based if you do. Awe Maria, and I don't wear a brown scapular. Nick says, hey, Nick, I passed my exam yesterday, so I'm glad to be, you know, and I'll just say this about, look, just generally about Catholicism, I don't know at what point people got the idea that I was like a trad Cath LARPer. Insofar as I don't have casual sex, I guess that makes me like a trad Cath, but like, you know, you say you're like Catholic, you say that you're trying to live like a legitimately Catholic life, and then people are, you need to live a traditional Latin mass lifestyle, you need to wear, you need to be a monk, you need to be wearing all these ornamentation, and you need to have whatever. It's like, okay, like, you know, my parents are like culturally Catholic. I was raised culturally Catholic. I recently came around to the theology. You know, I'm trying to live the Catholic life, but, you know, let's get real. It's about, you know what it's about? It's about God. It's not about necklaces. It's not about Latin. It's not about rituals and ceremonies. And don't get me wrong, all of that stuff facilitates a closer relationship with God. Don't get me wrong. It's not that that's not a good thing, but I think people begin to miss the forest for the trees when they forget, you know, what it's really about, and it's all about decorations, and it's about necklaces, and it's about all this kind of thing. It's some kind of like, I don't even know, it's like a hobby for some people. So, no, I don't wear a brown scapular, just believe in Jesus Christ. Nick says, hey, King, I passed my exam yesterday. I used to wear a cross, but the chain broke. Hey, King, I passed my exam yesterday, so I'm glad to be back on the America First grind. The meaning to ask, what the hell is Shkadal and Beans? Well, hey, congrats on passing your exam. This is an Italian dish. It's sort of like, I've explained it before, Shkadal. I think that's like an American-Italian pronunciation of it. I don't know. Some things I've never heard pronounced a real way, you know? Like, my parents talk about, you know, like prosciutto instead of prosciutto, or calamari instead of calamari. So I don't even know what is the correct way to pronounce, probably like a lot of food things. So I don't know if I'm pronouncing that wrong, if that's like an ethnic pronunciation, but it's like a vegetable. It's like a leafy vegetable that you eat with beans. It's a very, I mean, it's this vegetable and it's beans in a dish, not complicated. Strong ones, it's a very healthy thing. Props, or rather strong ones, as props to Taylor Swift for naming them at the Music Awards the other night. Too bad everyone will pay more attention to the male privilege part, and this will probably go nowhere. Did she name them? What are you talking about? Taylor Swift. I'm not going to say what else I wrote there. But Taylor Swift something. I didn't. What do you mean she named them? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't follow Taylor Swift, so I'm not up to speed on this. Pineapple says the carbon atom is 666. Mind blown. What do you mean? What does that mean? Carbon atom. What does that mean? That's its number. It's a time. I don't know what you mean by that. Nibber says, did you see the Bill Barr interview from today? A true white pill amidst a sea of poo poo. Okay, no, I did not. Daniel says, coworkers be like soap, lampshades, the usual. Using babies as clay targets was a new one I hadn't heard before. I'd be like Nick Optics and keeping my job. Have a great weekend, y'all. Okay, I don't really know what that means. Jane says, was Jason Wolf's middle name Iscariot by any chance? Just wondering, unironically. Definitely possible. Yeah, his middle name was Judas. Brendan says, Rob Smith is literally pee-pee and poo-poo. Yeah, that's great. John says, should we lower the age of consent? 18 is post-wall. Oh, well, you're going to get me into hot water with this one. I will say, you know, well, I don't know. I have to be very careful how I approach this one. You know, what I'll say is the age of consent to me begins to be problematic when you're talking about teenagers, like relationships between teenagers. Do you know what I mean? Because I've heard of stories where it's like, somebody's 18 and their girlfriend's 17 and they get hit with statutory rape, right? Because 17's under the age and 18's over, right? Or I've heard like child pornography, if like, you know, again, you're in high school and you're 18 and, you know, your partner's 17 and they send you a lewd photograph or something. Not that that's a good thing that, you know, you shouldn't be sending lewd photographs no matter what, for moral reasons and also just practical reasons. But in any case, then you get hit for child porn, right? So I think that has to be accommodated for, but broadly speaking, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of a complicated subject. Probably, I do believe minors should be protected. So I think age of consent laws are basically fine where they are, but I do hear about a lot of these things where it's like, you know, an 18-year-old's dating a 17-year-old, like I said, and then they like throw the book at him. And I think we all know that's probably silly. Or like I said, with the sexting, it happens a lot on like Snapchat where, you know, again, if it's two kids in high school in a relationship and there's lewd photographs, they hit with child porn. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I would say that's the only problem with it. But beyond that, I think, you know, 18 is probably where it should be. I think 18 is where it should be. And that's my optical answer, okay? But I've also heard the theory that age of consent laws was basically created by feminists to control the sexual marketplace, you know? I don't know if there's anything to that, but I've heard that argument made before, but I don't know if that's really the hill I want to die on, you know? And you certainly would die on that hill if you started, you know, crusading against age of consent laws. So I think, you know what, I think 18 is just fine. I think of girls under the age of 18, I think of a girl that's 17 years old, and I'm like, ugh, 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 gross. Ugh. Give me a paper bag. She's a day before she turns 18. Please, ew. Give me someone that's exactly my age, you know? I want to be like 35. I look at a 19-year-old girl. Ugh, ew, ew. Get her out of my sight. Get her out of here. That's disgusting. I want a woman that's 35 years old. Torchance, as you had said, women shouldn't be taught science or math when you could teach them good things. My fiance, who was in the kitchen, wanted to say that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. That's very cute. But it's true. And that's true across the board, by the way. I think that, you know, where we are with education is so wrong. It's so impractical for so many reasons. People are basically being taught garbage. Everything that people are being taught is effectively useless. And not only is the curriculum useless, but people don't even learn the curriculum. I see so many things on social media. Like, I follow, like, normie people that I knew in high school or, like, normie celebrities. And it's like, I don't know if it's education or if it's just most people are dumb, but the kind of, like, spelling errors I see, like, the basic ignorance. I know it's a very boomer take, but it's like, holy cow, man, people are just fucking dumb. And apologies for the language, but seriously, the most basic things, like geography, spelling, math, like people just don't get it. So whatever the curriculum is, it's not working. And if you actually break it down, it's all just garbage. You know, it's either not true or it's useless. You know, like, for example, when I was in high school, I was learning like calculus and statistics and biology and chemistry. Like, I don't remember anything about chemistry. And it would have been much better to learn about tax laws and like how to be a landlord and stuff like that. You know, even for men, basic things about like auto repair and, you know, home maintenance, things like that. I mean, that to me, like, I got out of high school and it's like, I don't know I cannot live as an adult. I do not have the skills to be an adult, you know, and if the government's going to outsource the responsibility for parents to raise their kids to the public schools, well, then they should probably do a better job, right, at teaching people these things. So, yeah, I think we got to rethink the whole curriculum, not just for girls, but for everybody. But, yeah, girls in particular, why do they even bother with this science stuff? Bob Sacamano says, Bob Sacamano. Okay, so it's just it's on repeat. Content Gay says, Bernie went from warning people about how immigration can hurt America to wanting to give illegals free health care. It's almost like he didn't actually care for America and just wanted votes. Yeah, it really makes you think. Look, you can't trust any politician. That's what you got to understand. No politician is legit. I don't care who it is. They're not legitimate. You know, maybe you could find some exceptions in history of people that really love their country. But especially with Democrats, I don't think there's a single sincere Democrat, broadly, I'm speaking very generally. And Republicans, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody genuine too. You know, Bernie Sanders, a lot of people say, oh, he's really authentic. He like really cares. This guy doesn't care. This guy doesn't care at all. He's got a lake house, you know? And like you said, he flip-flops on these issues. He knows that immigration is bad, but like you said, he wants to get elected. So I'm always more skeptical of politicians than anybody else. West Offensive says, I'm a traditional Catholic. Love that you use your platform to promote Catholicism. I know you read a lot of books. I really haven't been reading. I think I've read like one book this whole year. And I know that's terrible, but honestly, I don't know. I just got out of the habit. I want to come up with some like rationalization, but it's like you just get so hooked on the social media and internet stuff that I just gotten away from me. So I actually haven't been reading. But anyway, he says, I was wondering what books you would recommend all Groypers to read. I'm finally on Christmas break. I'm generally pretty anti-book these days. Most of the information that you need is online, honestly. I know that sounds like dumb or like a yuppie thing to say, but it's true. Most of the information that you need on a practical level is like on the internet. That's not to say you shouldn't read old books. You should, but I mean, everybody should read the Bible, of course. I would say you can read Sam Francis. He's got a lot of really great stuff, but it's hard to find because they don't print it anymore. Sam Francis is really good. Peter Brimelow, Paul Gottfried is great. Pat Buchanan's the most prolific out of all those. He's got like a dozen books, and they're all Kino. You can't go wrong. Suicide of a Superpower, Death of the West. What is it? What is the one about the World War II? It's the... what is that one called? He wrote a book about World War II. I said it's the Something War. The Unnecessary War, I think, is it's called. So there's a lot of good stuff from Pat Buchanan. What else? What else is good? Sam Huntington has some good stuff. Who Are We? Clash of Civilizations. Burnham has got some great stuff, like about the managerial state, things like the managerial revolution. And what's his book about the West? So those are some authors, some basic stuff there. But I'm not really too keen on books lately, I got to be honest. Senseless Tuning says, cringe goes here. Okay, John says, that super chat about the age of consent was cringe. Hopefully a troll and not some nasty pedophile, yeah. JC says, the only acceptable gay relationship is between Shinji and Kaworu. That wasn't a gay relationship. And if you think it's gay, you're the gay one, okay? Shinji and Kaworu had a platonic relationship. It's something you could never understand. It wasn't homosexual, okay? It wasn't sexual. So how is it gay? So no, wrong, debunked. Foy says, when you realize you impulsively sent a stupid super chat and it's too late to remove it before Nick roasts you in front of thousands of people, gotta live with it. Gotta think twice before you click send. Nicholas J. 56% says, hey Nick, can I get a shout out? Yeah, sure. Kilevra says, any chance of a cozy esoteric stream soon? Maybe a chill D live with Call of Duty, Bluebeam, and ancient Canaanite deities? Either way, love your content, King. What do you want to hear? A deep dive? You want a cozy stream? Shove it up your ass. I'm so sick of this, like, you know, just schmood, okay? Just vibe. I don't know why it makes me so mad when people... I don't know what it is, but when people say, like, I want a deep dive, or I want a cozy... I want you to talk about this thing. Can you talk more about this? No! I'm going to talk about what's on my mind. I'm going to play Call of Duty. I'm going to schmood. If it comes up, it comes up. But I don't know what it is. It strikes me as just sort of, like, gimmicky. If it's like, okay, everybody, and now we're going to talk... We're going to have a cozy esoteric stream. Ooh. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like the energy just seems... It just seems very gimmicky. It seems very like, I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. Okay, everybody, now it's time for the cozy. We're going to be very esoteric and cozy today, everybody. We're going to get into some really esoteric stuff, everybody. It's like, I just like to come on the air, whether it's the show or anything else, and just schmood with you. I just like to vibe with you. If we touch on an esoteric thing, we get there. It strikes me sort of inorganic. I can't quite grasp it. You know, I'm not like a YouTuber in a traditional sense. I'm a streamer. I don't like pre-record a YouTube video. I'm like, hey gang, today, you know, be sure to sign up using code FAG and buy your Black Rifle coffee. Today our topic is blah blah blah, and I'm gonna tell you a little bit about this. To me, it strikes me as just so like unnatural. It strikes me as so. Do you get what I'm saying? Artificial, and that's what most YouTube content is. And when I come on and stream, it's like I'm just talking to you. It's like I'm just having a conversation with you. I'm just ranting at you. This is how I talk to most people. I eventually just, by being pushy, I just monologue at people, and they give me a little pushback. Or not pushback, but, you know, that's how I perceive it. You know, they'll say whatever they want to say, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know, I'm going to monologue more. So to me, it's a very natural, very organic thing. The idea of saying, hey, everybody, get your tea, get your cozy fag sweater on. We're going to do our cozy esoteric stream. I'm going to inform you today. I'm just a guy schmooting on the stream, okay? If we get into some esoteric topics, then that's what we do. But I don't know. That's why that deep dive thing always rubs. Today, we're going to do a deep dive. Hi, everybody. It seems very sort of like patronizing and condescending. Do you know what I mean? It's a very, what I'm describing is not very tangible. It's hard for me to articulate. So no. So in short, no, I'm not going to do a cozy esoteric stream. I might do a COD stream that is ironic And maybe maybe if you ask me about it, I'll touch on it a little bit. But just do your own research. Why do people have to ask about, are you a baby? Are you an infant? You have Google right in front of you. Project Bluebeam. Here, I'll do it right now for you. Here, baby. Project Bluebeam. Here's your deep dive. Project Bluebeam, Rational Wiki, a conspiracy theory that claims that NASA is attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order via a technologically simulated second coming. The allegations are presented, blah, blah, blah. Okay, baby, do you need me to take information and chew it for you and make sure it's mushy and then spoon feed it to you from my mouth? Is that what you want me to do? Because that's what you're asking me to do when you ask for a deep dive or, you know, can you do a show about this readily Googleable keyword? So, anyway. I'm not a infomercial guy. I'm not like an educational streamer. I'm an analysis guy. I'm going to do the high level thinking that people aren't capable of, not the baby spoon feeding information. Oh, so that's why I'm just trying to explain why. I'm just trying to explain why it frustrates me. It frustrates me. I'm trying to explain why. So that will not happen. America First Jew says, fuck wolves. Okay, good night. Time to lurk. Okay, good night. Fifth Wave Politics says, wasn't invited to GLS. This hurts, Nick. Well, you can blame Bronze Age Pervert for that. Adam Healy says, who will be the next America First president? I don't think we'll ever have an America First president, honestly. I think America will go away before we have a real nationalist. Brendan says, eat, nap, coom, 4 times a day, feeling based already. Okay, disavow. Elgato says, I've been listening to your old episodes and it made me miss the Groiper Wars. Thank you for your service, General Nick. Stop questioning and doubting, Nick. Just trust the effing plan. Oh, stop questioning and doubting, Nick. Just trust the effing plan. So true. Well, yeah, thanks, big guy. Thanks to all the infantrymen in the Groiper Wars and other support. Yeah, it's true. Just trust the plan. It was so epic. It was such an unambiguous victory. Just trust the plan. We've been doing this for 3 years. I kind of know what I'm doing here. You just got to trust the plan. The plan is in God's hands. West Offensive says, the only race that should be oppressed is fat people. Fat shaming works. We must enact Slim Crow laws. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know some good fat people. Some of my friends are getting fat. But, yeah, I mean, like, I generally don't like morbidly obese people. But to me, the only group that I really just hate, no exceptions, is simps. That's the only people. Because with everybody, there's like a couple of exceptions. There's a couple of people that are like, yeah, you're okay. But simps, they're the only group of people that I just blanket have hatred for. You know, and people say, like, you're a bigot, like, you're a racist. Like, I don't have a blanket hatred for anybody except for simps. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're about. If you simp, I hate you. I don't want to talk to you. I just can't do it. So not even fat people. There's some cool fat people. There's some based fat people, all right? Based fat people. I know some of them, but, you know, there's no such thing as a based simp. Simps, they have to be brutally oppressed until they stop being simps. Or even if it's impossible to stop being a simp, they cannot be outwardly expressing their simp tendencies. And, you know, some people are saying, what's a simp? What's a simp? Yeah, well, everybody knows. Let's see. Lethal Brawler says, so you don't like Nick? Eat shit. Yeah, true. Deplorobology says, advice on how to quit porn. New watcher here. We're the same age. Cool. Well, that's really great. How do you quit porn? Stop watching it. You know, somebody asked me this the other day. It's like with any bad habit. You just have to stop. It's hard. It's difficult to do. It's challenging. And it requires a lot of willpower. But at a certain point, you just have to stop. You know, the rubber meets the road and you just must refrain. What do people think the answer is to this? How do I stop watching porn? Well, first you got to rub your tummy and pat your head. And then you've got to eat, you know, a lemon. Don't watch it. How do you quit watching porn? Quit watching porn. Nick, how do I stop watching porn? Don't look up porn and watch it. You know, don't view it with your eyes. You know, not really a complicated answer. Now, if you're asking, how do I, you know, combat the urge? How do I, you know, that's another story. But even then, it's like you just, it is really just a matter of willpower. Because anything that you could do, think about it like this. It's easy to not, you know, engage in bad habits when you're preoccupied. I think that's what a lot of people opt for. Preoccupy or substitute. Well, if you're throwing yourself into working out and, you know, regular work in your profession and you're keeping yourself busy, it's very easy when you're doing all that to not fall victim to temptation, right? Or if you substitute, well, I'm not watching porn, I'm smoking a cigarette, which I think probably smoking cigarettes is better for you, honestly, or drinking or something like that than pornography, because smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell, and that's what matters, right? Well, I'm substituting with a different ritual, but you know, eventually, I mean, that desires, when you do bad habits like that, it's sort of like heroin. Once you get a taste of heroin, you never forget. I've never done heroin, but this is what I've seen on television. This is what I've heard. You never forget. You never lose that. You know what it feels like. And so whenever things get tough, the temptation is always there. You can ignore it. You can distract from it. But we all know we have moments of weakness when there's nothing distracting you. There's nothing where you can substitute. And you're just left with the temptation. And that is when you just must resist it. You just must have the willpower to say no. And in the meantime, you know, generally speaking, try to distract, try to substitute, whatever. I'll have another ritual, I'll have another habit, something else that'll give me dopamine, you know, whatever. But the only way to quit something is cold turkey. The only way to quit something is to just stop doing it. Ultimately, you just must stop. And there are going to be times when it's really hard and times when it's easy, times when you're, you know, you had a bad day and you're like, maybe just once. And there's nothing to prepare you for that other than just have willpower. There's nothing else I can tell you other than just simply don't. You know, it might sound reductive or like I'm being a dick, but no, you just don't do it. So, Ellie Bell says, what are your views on Messianic Jews? I don't really know that much about Messianic Jews. It doesn't really make much sense to me. Shouldn't they just be Christians? I mean, in a sense, they're Jews that believe in Christ, but shouldn't they just be Christians? When Christ came, he said the new Israel is believers. You know, the new, my children are now no longer the Jews, it's Christians, right? So why aren't they just called Christians? It's okay to be white, says I'm a proud Protestant British patriot. It's currently 1:30 a.m. GMT, but I'm staying up to listen to you. I wish we had young conservatives like you here, not afraid to go against the grain. Okay, gonna have to, this is a wignat. Yeah, thanks for the sentiment, I guess, but we could have done without that number at the end. I don't know what you're trying to achieve with that. Fed in chat, we could use more people like you. And then he throws a certain number in there. Yeah, I don't know what your end game is there, pal, but thanks. Polish Americans is taking the ACT tomorrow. Please pray for me. First super chat. Well, thanks for the super chat. Good luck on the ACT. Hope you get a good score. Magazog says, now that Judaism has been officially declared a nationality, shouldn't we be going after people of dual loyalties? I say America first. Yeah, me too. Yeet Skeeterson says, glad to see so many people enjoying a cozy stream on a Friday instead of going out and sinning, except cringe posters. You guys should go drink and drive. Yeah, true. Tyler says, women be like, lie? Yeah, it's kind of all they know how to do. Forest Shade says, hey, Nick, I got you a puppy for Christmas. You should be getting it delivered in a few days. Here's some money for dollar store dog food. Oh, thanks. Elevated Squirrel says, gosh dang, that's a nice shirt, looking fresh. Hey, thanks. Got it at Macy's. Mothbutt says, hey, Nick, just thought I'd let you know that it's the best time to wear a striped sweater. Well, thank you for the heads up. Franz says, be gone, false lighting demon. Okay. Content Gay says, Cenk will either win by a landslide or he will end up like Sargon, nowhere in between. Yeah. America First Jew says, me, I love you, Nick. Nick, who was that? Was that you? Come down here on stage. Nick to me privately. You see the AmericaVerse studio? I trade it all away in a second for a friend like you. Mm-hmm. I wake up. It's 2019. We're still making Joker jokes. Fuck it. Yeah, I'm with you. It's fine. It's still 2019. We can still make Joker jokes. I wonder if people do think about that. I wonder if people, you know, somebody's watching AmericaVerse with their mom and mom's like, come here, it's starting. And you get up on the bed and it's Nick Fuentes and you fantasize that you're in the live studio audience. Yeah, I love you, Nick. Hey, wait a minute. Who said that? Can we get a spotlight? Hey, what's your name? Hey, Nick. My name's Joe the Boomer. My name's America First Jew. I wonder. AmeriChad says, watching you demolish that burrito in 4 minutes flat on Lolly Sox stream was excellent content, big guy. Wondering what's your position on the wolf question. Well, glad you appreciated that. I was very hungry. You know, I love the burrito. It's in the DNA, right? I'm glad somebody appreciated that. And I hate wolves. I think wolves should be shot on sight. You know, my friend Millennial Matt, he deals with the wolves a lot. I don't want to say where he lives, but he lives in the mountains. And the a particular kind of wolf, it's like, what is it, the gray timber wolf or something like that, has been introduced into the environment by lab coats for some purpose. And what the wolves did is they killed all the native wolves, and now they kill livestock. And now farmers are like being destroyed by the wolf population, so they hate them there. So he's a very big advocate of killing wolves. So, you know, I think it's based. I am not like an eco guy. In a certain sense, I think we should protect our natural environment. We shouldn't litter. The plastics to me is the big thing. Get the plastics out of the environment. Don't pollute in terms of like, obviously, I think a lot of these chemicals that are being released into the atmosphere are not good for us. You know, so generally speaking, I am against pollution. I'm against that. I'm for preservation of things like the Grand Canyon and, you know, whatever. But where I draw the line is I don't believe in nature for nature's sake. Nature serves mankind. I'm not concerned about pollution necessarily because, like, a turtle gets his neck stuck in a fucking, you know, soda can, plastic wrap. My problem is because it hurts human beings. You know, we should preserve nature insofar as it benefits people. You know, whether we like to enjoy it or look at it or, you know, we get our food from it, our oxygen and whatever. But I am not a pagan worshiper of nature for its own sake. I am also not under any illusions about nature. Nature is hostile. You know, a lot of these people think nature is like a very chic, trendy sort of a thing. You know, they look at these pictures of nature online where it's like a cozy cabin. And it's like some kind of hipster, like chic boutique getaway vacation. You pay $5,000 and you spend a couple of weeks in some chic cabin in the woods. It's like, do you know what nature is like? Nature hates us. Nature's trying to kill us. Whether it's diseases, bugs, germs, you know, even little things like, you know, you break your arm or something in the woods. Like, good luck, right? Natural predators. We, in the scale of human history, just escaped nature and have created civilization. And people want to go back. People want to go back into nature. To what end? You know, nature sucks. It's uneven surfaces. It's dirty. It's hostile. You know, you're dealing with the inclement weather, the elements. You know, I am a conservative. I am in favor of order. And order means civilization, not some kind of hippie, you know, eco-fusionism. And also, you know, a rejection of, what is it? I forget. I learned this in some science class in college. It's something about the prefix is anthro. You know, we believe in the environment insofar as it serves us, the primacy of mankind, not the primacy of nature. I don't want to live in harmony with nature. I want to dominate nature and use nature. That doesn't mean to abuse it. We want to be good stewards of the environment so that it can replenish itself and it's bountiful and it'll be here for generations. That means, you know, we're not overfishing. We're not, you know, depleting natural resources. We're not doing undue harm or whatever. But I mean, I am in favor of development. I am in favor of having a society. And that means that humans are going to be taken care of. So now, have big businesses and big lobbies like destroyed nature, of course, and there's excesses and so on. We all recognize that. People are polluting rivers and oceans, and that's terrible. But I'm also not somebody that believes that the trees are God. I'm somebody that doesn't go out and, you know, worships nature or anything like that. I think that's bullshit. And we hear a lot of that, you know, tree-hugging nonsense. Not to say that I don't support the ecology, and I'm not an environmentalist in a certain sense, but I am not, I don't worship the environment. So it's an important point on the wolf question. Franz says, okay, not going to read that. Polish says, Meds and Slavs are Chad, Anglos and Nords are cringe. No, I think Meds are Chad. Nice try. Nice try, Polish Groiper, trying to slip that one in there. I thought that was going to get past the goalie there. No, I think it's definitely Meds are Chad and everybody else is pretty cringe. Nords are okay. Nords are okay. And Slavs are fine. And angloids are not okay, okay? But meds are the only Chad ones, in my opinion. I was talking to Lolly Socks the other day, and I said, you know, the Mediterraneans are really, we are like the formal definition of what man is, you know, in the sense that Plato talked about forms, and you talk about a triangle. And we know that in a formal sense, you know, in the realm of forms, we know what a triangle is, that no triangle exists. We talk about the definition of triangle, a perfect triangle with three sides, perfect, and it's 180 degrees on the interior and so on. You can have instantiations of a triangle that approach the form, the definition of a triangle, but you don't. And I would say that Mediterraneans are the closest instantiation of what it means to be mankind. You know, Italians are the closest instantiation. We are what mankind. We're the closest approximation of the definition of man. And everyone else is sort of an aberration. Everybody else is probably a near but imperfect instantiation of mankind. That's why Jesus Christ was Italian. He was, when God sent his only begotten son, he sent a Mediterranean. He didn't send a Mongoloid. He didn't send a Ethiopian. He didn't send, what is some Native American tribe? Some Aztec or Mayan or, you know, whatever, a Jupi-Jew, Eskimo, blah, 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 teepee person. No, he sent an Italian. He sent a Mediterranean. He sent somebody from the Mediterranean. And everyone knows that. And that's where all the salt comes from. Let's see. Migory says, change the details to say the stream starts at 7:30, but we'll start the stream at 7 to let everyone pregame and get hyped. No, it's too complicated. You have to say one time. You have to say 7 or 7:30. Magazog says, getting punished or fired for not showing up on time is for wage slaves. You are better than that. Well, I'm not saying, I've never been punished or fired for that, but I'm saying maybe we should change the time just so people don't get confused. Yeah, I agree. I will not get slapped on the wrist by the audience. I reject this. I will come when I want. I will approach the show when I please, right? I'm not on the clock. Oh, look, I forgot to punch in. Ugh, you know, slamming holes in the wall, in the green screen. I mean, in the penthouse. And so I agree. I'm not really worried about punching in at the right time. But just to, out of consideration, we want to get the right time. Let's see. Billy Mays says, hey, Nick, love the show. Two things. One, you remind me of a young Will Forte. Kind of cringe. Two, I've been spreading awareness of your show via, what is that, TTT Lobbies on Gmod. I don't know what that means, but thanks. Inclusion says, my friend and brother have worked for Sodexo, and they're a great company. They pay well for an easy job. Also, try a fountain pen. Okay, I heard what this was about before. Thanks for that. America First Jews is funny. They'll say they will not cross the picket line, but they'll all support policies that will import millions of foreign low-skill labor that will. Yeah, that's exactly the takeaway. Lauren Rose says, hey, Nick, wish Nick Mullen a happy 30th birthday. I will not because he's a simp. Calvin says, with India becoming a superpower soon, what will this mean for the rest of the world? I guess we'll all have to get used to open defecation, right? Jomo says, we still doing the India superpower meme? Really? Yeah, my thoughts exactly. Thank you for that. I'm glad that the super chatters are sort of self-policing now. A cringe one will come in, a Fed post will come in, and you'll have a super chat, you know, a few super chats later, someone will say, that was cringe, that's gay, really doing that. So I'm glad I've created the self-policing atmosphere. That is what I always intended to do here. Mr. Camus says, super chatting from a gay bar right now. No homo, don't worry. Okay, if you say so, big guy. Tybor says, imagine being a dishwasher to school and complaining about your benefits instead of washing dishes at home while your husband takes care of you, LMAO. Yeah, well, that goes for women, I guess. Chaz says, sips, good viewership today, too. Yeah. Jacob says, what did you read that changed your mind and made you think women like it when they're treated poorly? I'm still a blue-pilled woman respecter. It's not, all these people think I read it in a book. I am a genius. Don't you understand this? I'm an eccentric genius. Almost all of my knowledge comes from practical experience. You know, the books supplement that and fortify that, and they give you new ideas. But, you know, most of it is just sort of like the wise man who sees all the forces of the universe in the garden, in his garden, in his, you know, in the neighborhood. So a lot of it's just practical experience, practical wisdom. But what was the moment when that really happened for me? I don't know. I guess like in 2016, I became like really red pilled when I was on like 4chan, like 2016, right around 2016, 2017, tail end of 16, and really throughout 2017. I would just read about like Tinder and some of the statistics and see some of the conversations that were happening on there and certain other statistics about fantasies and things like that. And you, of course, you hear the meme about simps and about beta orbiters and things like that. And the, I mean, I think you look at a lot of the culture today and you realize it's pretty obvious, you know, it's pretty obvious what you can see, what women really want. Maybe it was sort of like, a lot of Sam Hyde stuff red-pilled me on the woman question. It was sort of like a combination of like Dick Masterson, Sam Hyde, I would say Beardley Beardson, Sean, like probably those four guys over a period of like a decade kind of convinced me, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, with men, it's like, if you treat them respectfully, like that's, I think, what most men like, you know, if you're trying to be friendly, if you want to establish a friendly or professional relationship, you treat somebody politely and with respect and, you know, it's reciprocated, generally speaking. With women, it's like almost the opposite. It's like if you pay too much attention to them, it's like, oh, no, I don't like this guy. You know, if you're too nice to them, they perceive that a certain way. So they're not, it doesn't make a lot of sense. At least, you know, if you're using the same frame as men. Women and men are different. Women and men are significantly, drastically different. The differences are so significant and are so consequential, and people just don't grasp that. People think that women and men are basically the same, but like they're a little bit different. Women are more emotional. And that's usually what I hear. Women and men are the same. Women are more emotional. Okay. Women obviously have different genitalia. Okay. Women are physically weaker than men. Okay. But they're still like the same. But they're equal and whatever. Like, no, they're so fundamentally different. They're fundamentally different. The sexes are fundamentally different. The differences are fundamental. And because of that, there are consequences for these differences. There are implications for these differences. Now you're supposed to treat each other. The sexes are complementary. And, you know, that carries a lot of weight. That carries a lot of gravity with it that people are not really prepared for. I think we've been brought up with so much implicit programming about the fundamental equality or interchangeability of the sexes. And then, you know, we sort of have this tacit acknowledgement like, well, they're not exactly the same, but nobody's really prepared to grapple with these differences that for generations, it was just sort of like ingrained into the culture. This was called patriarchy. But now we live in like a soft matriarchy or a hard matriarchy, depending on, you know, how you look at it. And people don't even realize that. It has to be sort of like a revolutionary idea about it, not just like, well, men are kind of different, but like, no, I mean, they're very, very different. So that was like, to me, the more fundamental red pill is like the differences between men and women. Blue-pilled woman respecter. Yeah, eat shit. Women respecters eat shit. Trad authority. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't like respect women and be like respectful towards them. But this idea of like simping of like, hi, I'm never going to be mean to you. I'm never going to be a jerk like those other guys. Like, you should just be fucking like executed. Kidding. Nobody should ever be executed ever. No violence, no simulated violence, nothing like that. But it's like, you know, people that are like that, like, hi, ma'am, I'm really nice. I'm like a really nice guy. I'm harmless. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Women, if they don't want to be disrespected, they want a man who is capable of disrespecting them. That is what they all want. They all want a man who's going to take charge and boss them around and say, like, shut up once in a while. You know, things like that. They want a man with balls and not somebody that they have their balls in their hand. That's what it means. They don't want somebody wrapped around their finger. That's not how it's supposed to be. So, anyway. Trata, we're getting some, these are good super chats tonight. We're getting at the eco question, the femoid question. Trata Authoritarian says, hey King, I told you so on the Trump-Kushner debacle a while back. What do you mean you told me so on the Trump? What does that even mean? Keep up the good work. You keep me from full black pill lookout on life. Here's for Big Macs for the Supreme Chancellor Groiper. Well, thanks. Yeah, I don't know what you mean you told me so, though. You're going to have to be more specific because I don't think that's true. Trent says, Ted Bundy got love letters, dude, LMAO. Yeah, thank you. Ted Bundy got love letters. Nicholas Cruz got love letters. Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland shooter, okay? He got love letters from girls. What does it tell you that women are more attracted to murderers. They would rather date murderers, serial killers, than a man who is too nice to them. Like, what does that tell you? That a man who doesn't make, like, good eye contact, right? I mean, do you get that? That somebody who's, like, you know, that is a little bit awkward, right? Or discombobulated. What does that tell you? It tells you a lot. I mean, people went to Ted Bundy's trial and were like, he's innocent. Girls, he's innocent. He wouldn't do it to me. So that's the red pill, right? Anyway, Spencer says, had my first Big Mac in years today. Thought of you. Well, thanks. Harris says, white women, F wolves. Yeah. Liam says, what up to my favorite FIB Wisconsin Chad here? Well, I don't know what FIB is. Do you mean FBI? I don't know what that is, but thanks. Fran says, imagine super chatting this good. Magazog says, why does it smell like cat urine in here? I don't know. Custer says, hey, bro, your check from Big Agriculture is ready. We just need you to counter-signal wolves real quick. Okay, I think I got that taken care of. Yeah, very profitable year for America First. We work for China, Iran, Big Agriculture, Big Chemical, the Koch brothers, Steve Bannon, Israel, NASA, Big Water. You know, so really, we're just raking in the dough. I'm a secret millionaire. I'm like, I have hundreds of millions of dollars from all these major lobbies to make jokes on my internet show. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's the most lucrative thing you could do. Don't be a lobbyist. Don't be a congressman. Do a silly YouTube show where sometimes you play video games. That's when you rake in the big money as an asset. Alex says, great to hear about Sodexo. My school just decided to switch to them. Ah, very good. Bella says, hey, Nick, thoughts on Brexit? Libs protesting now. I think Brexit is good. VG says, you start the show whenever it's best for you, big guy. On Monday, we'll all be here right on time at 8 o'clock Central. Yeah. Well, I know you will be. Jared says, check out Keith Wood's video on reclaiming socialism from the left. Very similar in a way to your whiteboard last night, very BNR. Well, I'm not a socialist, so I would pause on that. The legend says, Ari, your comments about insurance stocks rising. They actually crashed after Obama's election, but saw an eight-year growth of 1,200%, five times more than the S&P 500. Well, yeah, I mean, Obama got elected and they crashed, sure, because this was around the time of the Great Recession. But beyond that, Obamacare was passed in 2010 or 2011. So, I mean, overall, but the point stands. Obamacare was good for the insurance companies. Obama's administration was good for all these people. He bailed out the banks. You know, need I remind you if you need another example. Boffy Bup says, you are boomer posting too hard, big guy. Immigration is only one of the many relevant economic issues. On everything else, Democrats are better for workers. Read, what's the matter with Kansas? It's not boomer posting. Boomer posting is say that immigration is bad for workers. And by the way, I said that was one example. And Democrats are not good for workers if they're in favor of free trade, which they are, and they're in favor of mass immigration. So talk about a stupid comment. Gino with a big super chat. Thanks so much. Says, thanks for all you do, Nick. Merry Christmas. Hey, thanks for the big super chat. Merry Christmas to you, too. AmeriChad says, me and Biggie Slonk headed to Agartha. You guys want anything? No, I'm good. Yoltz says, got fired today for saying femoid at work and posting anti-Semitic memes on my personal Instagram. Take these last wagey coins. They embarrass me. Well, thanks. Sorry to hear about your job, but kind of your own fault. Mr. Maxwell says, unions should be America first. Big agree. Matthew says, you must work for Big Agriculture because wolves are noble and majestic animals. Wolves also have strong family ties. This is why we must kill them. Yeah, very true. We are in a war with other animals. We are the apex predator. Rubmaps says, True Anon podcast shouted you out and supports you. They are anti-woke Marxists who mainly discuss the Epstein conspiracy. Well, that's pretty cool. Catholic Leisure says, hey, Nick, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I don't really want anything, honestly. I am not somebody who wants. I'm a very simple guy. You know what I like? I like a cheeseburger, okay? I like to play my video games with my friends. I like to hang out with my friends. I am not somebody who wants for material things. You know, I'm basically all set. What do I want for Christmas? I don't know. Maybe a few books. I don't know. I don't even really know what I want for Christmas. I'm all set. I'm living the dream over here. What did my father always used to say? He would always say, you know, I'd say, what do you want for Christmas? And he would say, I already have everything I want. Something like that. It's very, very wholesome, very heartwarming thing to say. It's true. Let's see. ASDF says, he says the nastiest comments about Christians too. Who does? Omega King says, Colby told me you still talk to her. She's a coal burner. I've never talked to Colby. Jared says, Milo, but is interracial marriage okay with me because I'm not breeding? Nick, no, it's actually worse, laughs, because you are a homosexual. LMAO gold. Yeah, it was pretty good. Little red meat for the people out there. Zach Phillips says, Merry Christmas, my dude. Looking forward to my America First hoodie. Hey, well, I hope you enjoy. Gino with a big another big super chat. Thanks a lot. Spencer says, Cenk getting canceled is so satisfying. He sucks. Yeah, big agree. Evner says, just rewatched the Star Wars prequels. Couldn't help but notice the anti-Semitic dog whistles. Also couldn't stop laughing at Watto. I don't know what you mean, anti-Semitic dog whistles. I don't think that's a real thing. Gino with another big, wow, thank you so much. Gino, my man. Maybe it's a based Italian out there taking care of me. Thank you very much. Three huge super chats in a row. Very much appreciate that. Juice is voting for Trump is like voting for water, but you get gas instead. I don't know what that means. Sun Game says Mary was a Galilean Jewish woman of Nazareth. That's a nice cope. Everyone knows Jesus Christ was Italian and his parents were Italian, including God. Big Boy says half Maori from New Zealand. Why would another influx of foreigners be good for us if we are slowly growing faster than Europeans? Surely, since it was my land that was stolen, I shouldn't be muscled out by growing populations of Asians. Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know if that's really the angle you want to go with. But sure, I mean, I guess that's true. Isaiah says, Earth is motionless and flat. T-NASA is Satan. So you're implying that NASA is an anagram for Satan, except that it doesn't have the T. So yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Torchon says, so you want to mix nationalism with a social focus? Not sure what you're getting at. Anon says, wake up to, quote, find out who rules the world. Simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize. Kids with leukemia run the world. Wake up, sheeple. That's kind of funny. Gino with another big super chat. Wow, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Send me an email so I can send you a proper thank you. Matt says, hey, big guy, Trump is going to win 2020, but what do you foresee in 2024? If conservatives capture populism, what will a 2024 candidate look like? I have no idea. I am not going to project until 2024. You know, we don't know. We didn't know what 2016 was going to look like in 2012. Why would we know what 2024 is going to look like right now? We're not going to know what it looks like. So too many variables, too contingent. My guess is as good as anybody's, really. Franz says, how to get back to Christ? Literature, actions, pray, go to church, read the Bible. You know, pretty common sense stuff. What should I do? I have no idea what to do. Well, you know, they wrote a book. They gather every week. And you can talk to the guy directly. You know, I think those are three good places to start, right? I don't know how to get in touch with the Lord and Savior. I don't know how to get in touch with my Father. Well, you can talk to him directly anytime you want. They meet every Sunday. And he also wrote a bestseller. So I think those are probably, you know, that's what you're going to want to do. Evner says, I think someone forgot to add blue frosting to the walls of the gingerbread house. Okay. Hello, beating a dead horse department. Isaiah says, don't be a round tard. Earth is motionless and flat. Okay, I'll take your word for it. Magazog says, have a bottle of Marco Rubio water. You can do this. You can read all these super chats. Thanks for the encouragement. Let's see. Scroll down too far. Where are we here? Here we go. PP says, Anglo New Zealander here. Just want to say to that Maori guy that although both are undesirable, I'd rather have Asians here than him. That's kind of funny, but I disavow. Rudolph says, Cenk isn't all that bad. I can refer you to go on TYT. No, he's attacked me, so he's pretty bad. Groiper says, I think Yang is the best choice for 2020. Well, you are dumb. Big Jeff says, I need to give a presentation on immigration in school in a few days. Do you have any good anti-immigration arguments or sources that weren't in your speech in Iowa? Anti-immigration sources. FAIR is good. What is it? The Foundation for American Immigration Reform. CIS is good. The Center for Immigration Studies. Both of those are great. I think they're nonprofits or think tanks, whatever the language is. They are both great organizations and have a lot of good stuff on immigration Ann Coulter, obviously, is a great resource. Michelle Malkin is great. She wrote an essay for American Greatness recently about the, the F1 visa, EB5 visa. So you can look at that article. George Borjas is a great resource. Who else? Well, that's good to start with. Tooth Harvester says, you nailed it regarding the Democrats' hypocrisy about workers. It's time to break the binary paradigm. Both globalism and Reaganite big business worship are contrary to the common good. Yeah, totally true. Well, Reaganite big business worship is globalism. It's the same. Globalism is neoliberalism. Globalism is the globalization of the economy through free trade, through the free movement of goods. Globalism is the free market in terms of the free movement of labor, of peoples across borders. So Reagan was a globalist. Luca says, New Zealander here, both European and Maori must unite against the Asian immigration crashing our housing market, okay? Iron Ranger says, Nick, can we get a wrist check? I don't know what that means. Nova Core says, LMAO, my super chat was a lucid dream. No way it's reality, yeah. Temple Drake says, sorry to hear about the allergies, big guy. It might be time to finally give Albert to Kathy Zhu. We would never give Albert to Kathy Zhu. I'd give him to somebody I trust. Russell Bones says, it's so cringe when people aggressively signal that they hate Christmas music. Yeah, it so is, because Christmas music is good. Christmas music is a schmood. There's something about Christmas. I know a lot of, like, people get LARPy about Christmas in either direction. You know, they're either like, I'm edgy, I don't like Christmas music, or I'm too Christian, I don't like the commercialization. To me, the American Christmas is such a nostalgic thing. The songs, the decorations, the rituals, you know, there's something about it. It's one of our last, honestly, and it might be a sad, you could say it's a sad thing or whatever, but it simply is. It's one of the last vestiges of traditional American identity. I mean, that is simply true, that American Christmas is one of the last surviving, acceptable, mainstream expressions of traditional American national identity. You know, where else do you find it? I listen to the radio, and it's about Christians. It's about Christ, even in Chicago. You can drive around on it whenever you listen to Christmas music, and they've got Christian songs. They're talking about the real meaning of the season, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. So one of the last, I know it's a sort of a warped at this point message, but the foundation is still there. So let's see. Mo says, support from Palestine in the fight against the Jewish supremacy in the Jewish-controlled West. Okay, disavow. We support your fight for liberation. Okay, thanks a lot. Great Lakes Nationalist says, recommend Scott Greer's Twitter today. He shows how those who stuck their necks out early and bravely for Trump have suffered, while late adopters, even never Trumpers, have gotten lots of Trump's love and attention, loyalty unrewarded. Yeah, and that's one of the biggest scandals of this administration. Matthew George says, Joey Salads in the chat. Press J for Joey. Okay, sure. Yeah, I like Joey Salads. He's pretty solid. Good old, he's a fellow Italian, fellow med. Fozimos is our famous Juicy Lucy, a beef short rib blend burger stuffed with pimento cheese, served with caramelized onion, lettuce, tomato, spicy pickles, and special sauce. Caution, Juicy Lucy is very hot in the middle. Yeah, that's the burger I had from Whitman's when I was in New York for the Milo show the other week. Yeah, that was the burger I went off about last night. Terrible. I don't recommend. It's a disaster. Just get a regular cheeseburger. You'd be better off at McDonald's, honestly. Michael Worf says, the super chatter is immune to all dangers. One may call him a faggot, simp. It all runs off him like water off a raincoat. But call him cringe and you will be astonished at how he recoils. I've been found out. Okay, very formulaic old meme. Good job. T-Rex says, keep up the good work. Thanks. GG says, how much weed did you smoke during your libertarian phase? And did you ever feel any repressed homosexual feelings afterward? I never smoked weed before. So subsequently never had any repressed homosexual feelings from weed or in general. But no, I've never done any drugs. I've never had a drop of alcohol. I've never smoked weed. I've never done any like pharmaceutical type stuff. I've never done any drugs. So that's why I'm of such sound mind. That's why my physiognomy is good. That's why my mind is sharp, sharp as a tack, because I've never engaged with this stuff. And I encourage everybody else to be the same way. I do see occasionally some people that are like pro-weed or whatever, and it has no place. Pineapple says 6 protons, 6 electrons, and 6 neutrons is carbon. Wow, really makes you think, I would say, right? Alcibiades says, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, too. Armand says, Cenk is an Armenian genocide denier. Anna is cut. Yeah. A CIA defector says, have you heard of the thug conservative king face? No. ASDF says, you can already get married before 18 in most states with certain criteria. For example, parental consent. That's good enough and oftentimes too low. Yeah, I agree. Harold says, have trouble getting into Italy. Come to Australia instead. Italian is the second most common language here next to English. Plenty of GTF out of here. What does that mean? Plenty of GTF? Plenty of get the F out of here? Oh, like Italian saying get the F out of here. I don't, is that true? Italians are the most, or they get out of Italy and go there? I don't know what you mean. This is very cryptic, a very cryptic message here. I don't believe you. In Australia, Italian's the second most spoken language. That sounds like fucking bullshit to me. Language check. Let's see. Most spoken. Yeah, okay. Let's see. The top 10 languages spoken in Australia from, what is this, Ethnolink? So let's see. Aside from English, it's Mandarin, Arabic, Cantonese, Vietnamese. Number 5 is Italian. So, so not quite. Nice try. No, I think I'd go to Italy, not Australia. D says, why don't we ever bring up Assange and his situation? What is we? What is this we? What is we? Why don't you bring it up? You know, you can make a Twitter account. You can make your own YouTube channel. He played a huge role in waking people up in 2016. The media can release Afghan papers, but WikiLeaks can't. Assange is kind of cringe, honestly. He served his role in 2016 by exposing Hillary Clinton and some other things, but I mean, ultimately, what the guy also like doxed all those ICE people a few years ago. The guy's like a leftist. So I don't know if I'm a big Assange supporter. And he's also not really in the news. He's on trial, but I think everybody saw that coming. We talked about it when he went to jail, but I mean, what are we going to do? It's not really a huge story every night. So what is this? Why don't we ever bring him up? You know, you're free to do that, but I don't really find it particularly relevant. Corn Man says, what are your thoughts on Utah and Mormons? I don't know. I mean, I've never been to Utah. And Mormons have their own, like, lobby. In the same way that maybe another, like, another religious group has a certain lobby in the country. Mormons have their own. And Mormons have their own weird and esoteric beliefs and group interest and everything. So I don't know if I'm totally on board. Dang Mang says, hey, Nick, a fellow she-groiper is Sicky Poo. She really needs a pick-me-up. If you could promote her Hot Stuff Groiper t-shirt design by going to her Twitter, you'll find a Redbubble link. Thanks, Merry Christmas. Yeah, buy your band. Really gonna simp for an e-girls merch? Yeah, buy band. What in the world? What are you thinking, dummy? A fellow she-groiper, which I assume is a girl groiper, is sick, so shill her Redbubble t-shirt? I swear, man, if you gave me this tomorrow, I'd put another hole in the wall behind me. I swear to you, I'd put another hole right in the wall just for reading that. I'm going to have to move on before I lose it. Nicholas, thanks, Merry Christmas. Yeah, thanks, F you. Nicholas Cannon says, that's what I mean about simps. this e-girl groiper is sick. Can you promote a Redbubble link? Thanks. Yeah, can you eat shit and die? Kidding. It's a joke. Disavow because of community guidelines. Nicholas Cannon says, I know this is a long shot, but can you share your birth date, time, and place? Yeah, no. Inner City Democrats is using the term deep dive unironically should be a felony. Agree. Sad Woman says, go see a physical therapist to fix your fingers. My fingers are fine. Robin says, hey, Nick, first streamer donation ever. Just wondering if you think the Nord and Med will ever come together like a PewDiePie, Margia kind of deal. No, they certainly will, and they're going to have to unite. But the Meds must be the first among equals. That's just the way it has to be. And they already are. It's sort of like when pagans are like, can you stop counter-signaling us? Can pagans and Christians come together? It's like, no, we don't need you. We're epic and based in Red Pill. And you're gay, okay? You're a gay pagan. You worship trees and, you know, Odin, who drinks you know what, right? In the same way, it's like Meds and Nords. Nords are like what? Getting grenades thrown at them by Muslims, and Italians are based. Italians have the league. We've got Lega. We've got Salvini. And are Nords and Italians going to work together? I don't know, big guy. We're kind of killing it over here. We're shutting down all immigration to Italy. What are you doing? Maybe, I feel like we're kind of pulling our weight here, and the Nords, not so much. Now, I'm kidding. In all seriousness, we do need an alliance. Nords, Slavs, Meds. We need to come together and unite. Unite the right, so to speak. We need to unite. Because we're being attacked, you know, from the rest, from everybody else. So unironically, that's my take. But ironically, I'm going to say, you know, maybe it's time for, you know, Sweden to start to get their act together a little. Not a great ally right now. Kid Mangus is absolutely based and heteropilled on Shinji and Kaworu. Been saying the same about them for years. On that note, who would you say is best girl in Evangelion? Rei or Asuka? Assume both are of age. Definitely Rei, obviously. Zoomer G's has really been enjoying the premium streams, King. I'm glad. Robert says, Michelle Malkin's book, Open Borders, Inc. is great for understanding how charities, churches, businesses, and government bring illegals into America. Yeah, she's got a great book. Based one. Says, what are your views on the current divorce laws and how they disproportionately hurt men? What would you propose to change them? I don't know. I'm not a policymaker. ASDF says, inside Schenck, there are two wolves. Polish American says, baby need bottle? Does baby need... Okay, Running Wild says, any chance you'll bring the America First polo shirts back? I don't know. Bob says, following Christ is the ultimate expression of the good, participating in divine logos of the universe as being fully alive. Yeah, big agree. Yoker says, despite being 13% of the timeline, simps account for 50% of all cringe. True. Kind of stale. Paused Blump says, hey, big guy, what kind of hair products do you use? I don't use any hair products. I don't use gel. I don't use pomade. I don't use anything. I just comb it. I use shampoo. That's it. So what kind of hair products do you use? I don't use any hair products. I just comb it. Hey, have you tried combing your hair? Anonymous Tipper says, for knickers struggling with porn, there's the NoFap app, which gives some red-pilled material. When you're struggling, looking at the Coomer meme helps too. Okay, yeah, that helps a lot. Calaveras is repenting for my, you know, some retard's going to be like, you know, they're being very tempted. Oh, I know. I'll look at the Coomer meme. Yeah, that's great advice. Calaveras says, repenting for my super chat about cozy esotericism earlier. Next time I'll try to be less cringe. First time cringe posting. Sure, won't be the last. Well, just don't let it happen again. That's all. Glenn C says, starting the stream at 7. And coming on at 7:30 would be perfect. It would really save my phone battery at work. Well, that's what I do. Dimitri says, you may have to work, or rather, you have to work at being addicted to heroin. The just once and hooked is a myth. Okay, well, I don't really want to try and, you know, find out for myself. Yeet Skeeterson says, spot on cure for porn addiction and addiction in general. Idle hands are the devil's plaything. God bless, brother. Thanks. Mr. Anonymous says, I was arguing with a Lulbert, and he said that victimless crimes should not be illegal. I told him necrophilia is a victimless crime, and he said it should be legal as long as it's consensual. Thoughts? Yeah, well, there's no such thing as a victimless crime. And thinking about it in that way ignores the natural law. You know, there are things that are unnatural. There are a lot of victimless crimes where, you know, you're the victim, or God is the victim, or your family's a victim. You know, sin exists, right? So I would say that that standard is based on this, like, do no harm, like, liberal, retarded philosophy. Well, as long as nobody gets harmed. No, I mean, there are things you could do that are bad and that are wrong and that should be illegal, even though maybe it doesn't hurt anybody visibly, directly, explicitly. So I just reject that frame. Member of Incels says, quitting porn cures alcoholism. Okay, Jared says, hi, Nick, I'm a dummy dumb. Can you talk about how to tie my shoes? Bigfoot says, Jesus went on a suicide mission to... Okay, I'm not going to read that. Mr. Anonymous says, recommending my favorite politogram, Radical Yoda. Okay. Groiper of Gondor says, let's have a toast for the douchebags. Let's have a toast for the assholes. Everyone I don't know, a TPUSA. Ha, funny. Mr. Maxwell says, Nick, are you a baby? Me, yes. David Crawford says, Nick, I hate that fake cozy YouTube crap, Crowder. Okay, mug clubbers, today we're going to do your cozy Christmas special. Tweet us pictures of your favorite PJs with your mug. Proceeds to do the whole show on pink bunny PJs. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. John says, what is the best news aggregator now that Drudge Report is dead? I don't know. I don't know. What is the best news aggregator? Don't know. Daily Wire, maybe. Daily Wire, Fox News. PragerU, Daily Wire, Fox News, Daily Wire, something like that. Mark says, we thought we would become like South Africa because of demographics, but it turned out to be because of the wolves. Yeah. Marx is counter-signaling nature. What would Kaczynski say? I don't know. He's in jail. Max, he says, wait, isn't that the same sweater you wore at Politicon? I think you took a picture of Michael Knowles wearing that. Yeah, it is. Groypers, so shout out to the Groypers. I'm locked out of my account. Okay. CIA defector says, now I'm imagining Jesus in a tracksuit in front of a deli with his disciples living life, not knowing Judas is in some Fed car spilling the beans. Yeah, certainly a modern interpretation. Mr. Anonymous says, Nick, I watched your debate against Adam Kokesh for the first time. Had me dying. Would you be willing to debate any other ANCAPs like Whiskey Rebellion? I don't know who that is, maybe, if they have clout. Mr. Lennon says, cute or hot? Don't know what that means. Blitzkrieg says, hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on interplanetary expansion of human society to Mars or Titan, for example? By the way, you are a very handsome man. Thanks, I know. Interplanetary, yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's worth exploring. Polish American says, I'm a normal guy. I'm a nice enough guy. I'm a pretty normal guy. Running Wild says, you're right about nature. Funny, I was rereading the Bible today, Genesis 1:1-31, especially Genesis 1:28. I'm not typing all that out, but before the eco freaks hating, look it up. Yeah, true. Polish American says, simps be like, I'm a nice enough guy. I'm a normal guy. PP says, listen to Insane Juice by Payday Monsanto. Victor says, Nick, I'm Protestant and I don't like to follow extra religious practices. Where is it in the Bible that we have to baptize babies to avoid purgatory? Why don't you look it up? John Locke says, yeah, look, if you're a Protestant, you're not within the church, okay? Protestants will get all hung up on, well, we're in the Bible. I'm really uninterested in like the little, like, call no man father, but you call your priest father? Well, where does it say in the Bible that purgatory is real? I'm really uninterested in the particulars. I'm more interested in the broad strokes, which is to say that you've got 4,000 Protestant sects which have existed in 500 years, and that doesn't make any sense. You've got one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church which has a direct line of succession to one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, Peter, right? And Jesus Christ specifically said, you are the rock on which I build my church. You have the power to bind and loose sins and so on. To me, that's what matters. Right, to me that is it's the fact that he left a church, and because it wouldn't make sense outside of that, that's why I'm Catholic. That you need an authority to interpret this thing, you need an authority to tell you what is what. Do you really think that matters of eternal life and death should be left up to individual interpretation? You know, you look at some of these Lutherans where you have, I saw a story the other day, you had a transgender female Lutheran pastor. Like, really? This is what Protestantism inherently allows. So, well, we're in the Bible to say purgatory. Yeah, okay, forget that. Why in your church do you have transgender and female and gay pastors? Why are you having gay marriages in your church? Why do you have people like that guy on Jesse Lee Peterson that are like left-wing political activists and they're homosexuals, right? So, and people might counter with, well, there's bad people in the priesthood. Well, the difference is that our catechism says that those are bad people, and there's an authority that says those are bad practices. Protestants don't have that. John Locke says, yeah, I'm not going to read that one. Thanks for the $10. Well, that's what it says. Ellie Bell says, Nick is right. Simps are weak. Father Keto says, my new wife just said, bring the phone into our room so I can listen to the show while I fold the laundry. Ultimate white pill. That is very white pilling for you. K&J says, how do you get out of the friend zone? I don't know, man. I've never been in the friend zone, actually, because I'm not friends with women, you know? It's like, to me, it's like, if I'm not romantically interested in you, I'm really not, like, very interested in being your friend. So, you just have to reject that framing. It's like, you know, look, we can be in a relationship or we can just, like, not talk at all. I've made it very clear where women are like, you know, where you know, women might not be interested or whatever, and it's like, okay, like, well, I don't really... want anything to do with you then, like, it's like, oh, so no head? I mean, not obviously literally, but I mean, that's the mentality. It's like, oh, so not a relationship? Bye, you know, see you later. That's my mentality. You shouldn't be in the, what do you mean the friend zone? The easiest way is you don't be friends with, you know, women that are just taking advantage of you. Well, I just consider you like a friend. Okay, bye, bitch. See you later. So I've never been put in the friend zone. Billy Mays says, GTA Online net worth check? If not available, is there any saving or debt-based economy from inevitable crash? Is there any use in mass cash debit piling? GTA Online. I don't know what any of this means. Is this all about Grand Theft Auto, or is this real? Is there any saving our debt-based economy from inevitable crash? I don't think so. I think it's all going to crash eventually. But who knows when? Who knows when and how? What the anatomy of the collapse will look like, the economic collapse. I don't know. It's a very complicated question. ASDF says, Chank says the nastiest things about Christians. Okay. Let's see. We've got more. Wow, great. More super chats. I love loving it. Loving it. Vinny says, God is Calabrese. Yeah, God is from Calabria. We all know this. Chicken on a Raft says, libertarians be like, morality is subjective except for the free market. Yeah. Harris says, chat, let's get Nick into PKA through Dick Masterson. Don't know what that is. K&J Squad says, how do I get out of the friend zone with a girl I really like? Is there any hope? Not with that attitude. Not if you're going to be a fag about it. Listen, I'll tell you, this is the best advice I can ever give you with everything in life. You have to be willing to walk away. Have to be willing to walk away in anything, in business, in relationships, whatever it is. You have to be willing to let go and walk away. It's just a general like state of mind. It's sort of a subtle thing, but if you want it too badly, you won't get it. In my opinion, this goes with very certain things, I guess, where it's like maybe a dynamic like relationship with other actors involved. Because if you, in other words, if you make yourself too available, you know, there's no urgency incumbent on the other person or no pressure on the other person. Probably no interest either. So, you know, I don't know why people ask me for relationship advice. Doesn't really make any sense. But how do I get out of a friend zone with a girl I really like? Well, you know, there's plenty of girls out there and they're all fucking the same. Okay. Listen, there's women are basically all the same. And I don't mean it. Listen, ladies, no, you're really special. No. You really have it going on. I've never met anyone like you. Look, I mean, more or less, they're all kind of the same. And, you know, they've got their own... They're all very quirky. They've all got their own little thing that makes them really funny. They dance in a silly way. Oh, I've never met a girl who just is silly sometimes. I'm not like the other girls. I'm quirky. Sometimes I dance to music when nobody's watching. Yeah, nobody does that. Sometimes I just like to eat fast food and... You know, and like a slob. Oh, okay. I've never met anyone like that, you know? Sometimes I think I'm kind of, like, nerdy. Like, I watch a Marvel superhero movie. Wow! You're so special! You know, so, they're all the same. Don't get too hung up on any one person. Just, like, move on with your life. And, you know, just don't... If you want it too bad, it won't happen. You have to let it go. What's that old saying? You let it go, and if it comes back to you, then, you know, it's gonna work. But otherwise, you gotta be willing to walk away. If you're friend-zoned by what, like a girl best friend who you really want, get a grip, man. Get a fucking grip. Sorry for the language, but seriously, you know, people that are eternally cucked by a femoid, you know, around a little leash, and she jerks the leash. Come on, best friend. Come on, friend. Okay, I love you. What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you? Time to yank the leash in the other direction, right? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding, but, you know. But symbolically, that is what has to happen. You have to turn the tables. You have to have a complete paradigm shift in your thinking. You know? But I'm just a really good friend. Please love me someday. Oh, get a grip, big guy. Get a grip. I'm so sick of these simps, man. These simps have to just get beaten. They just have to get humiliated, like pushed down the stairs and like slapped across the face. Like, get a hold of yourself. Get a grip. You know, that's what has to happen. It's the only way they'll learn. It's the only way they'll learn. Because otherwise, they will not snap out of it. It's where tough love is required. And you have to slap them and say, listen, you bitch, get a hold of yourself, you know? That's what has to happen to simps. Anyway, you know, you provoke me. I say I hate simps, and we get simps in the chat, you know? Mr. Anonymous says, didn't Shank argue for bestiality to be legalized? Yeah, we covered that. Harold says, what do you call a kiwi with 100 lovers? A shepherd. Very funny. Emil says, I've worked hard labor tech, and now I'm interning to be a financial advisor to boomers. Should I feel based for making $250,000 off rich boomers or not? I think that was sort of like a humble brag there, subtle flex. Yeah, I'm working blah, blah, blah. Should I be proud that I'm making $250,000 a year off of boomers or not? I think you know exactly what you're doing there. And I'm not going to give you the satisfaction. Harold says Maori is pronounced moldy. Not even kidding. Okay, well, I don't know. NC says, what do you think about John Mark? I still don't know him. Guy on fire with gold content, goes in deep about what America is all about. What are your thoughts on him? Never seen his stuff. SRV says, Nick is Zoomer, Tucker, O'Reilly, Hannity. Better than all of them combined. God bless King, Merry Christmas. Well, that's, I don't know, it's a pretty tall order. You know, Tucker's obviously a titan, and O'Reilly's pretty good, and Hannity's, you know, he's all right. So I don't know, it's a pretty big, it's high praise. Busy says, Lolly Sock's been missing 6 days. What did you do? Well, he just hasn't been streaming. He's been trying to figure out what to stream. Adam says, Michelle Obama is a dude, okay? I don't know. This might go against terms of service. But I don't know if I disagree. AF fan says, Trump supporter, UFC fighter Colby Covington fighting for the welterweight belt tomorrow night against the Nigerian champ. Wish him luck. Okay, good luck. ASDF says, Nick, Trump is a crypto-Jewish, supports carbon emissions, 666, and his Hanukkah celebration made us the synagogue of Satan. The voices in my head said so. Yeah, that was in the spirit of an earlier super chat. RA says, hearing you go off hard on Simps made me worry for a sec because I remember having to watch my tongue in college after the election. Then I remembered that in fifth grade, I harassed a young substitute teacher so hard she went to the principal to cry, and I got dressed down by them both. Now I'm one of the most successful alumni. Day one, woman respecter check. Well, hey, based story. Bing says, wages are like cattle. They exist only to super chat, while the knicker sits like an effendi and eats. Yeah, well, let's say, hey, easy, goy. Shut it down. Shut it down. That's very anti-Nick. Anti-America first of you to say that. You're counter-signaling me. Ian, you're an enemy of the movement. Ian says, Kiwi here. China runs New Zealand's politics on both sides. I think Jews have found an equal, at most, a competitor. Don't know what you mean by that. Sounds kind of anti-Semitic. Ian says, or it's a, so it's, he super chatted the same thing twice. Danil says, why do you think dinosaurs aren't real? Well, I clarified, actually. I never said they weren't real. I said it was hard to believe, which is different. I know it's hard for lab coats to believe this, but there is a difference. But I figured out through my own research that dinosaurs are real, but that they lived alongside humans. Anand says, bro, have you seen Italy in the current year? Yeah, Matteo Salvini was poised to be the leader up until he got screwed out of the government. Yeah. Barry says, kids, still want them? Gripes the Tinder whore. Even though I'm 44, 'tis impossible, I muttered. Having kids at 44, chance of offspring, never. Okay, I don't know what this all of this means. ASDF says, Midwest is mid-best, but Central Time is cringe. Okay, thank you for that. Anon says, super chatters who apologize are simps, not even once. Big agree. Jacob says, did you have any wage jobs before the show? Yeah, I had a couple. I worked at UPS. I worked in a warehouse. I did like band camp at my high school. So I had a few jobs. Nothing like major. I don't think I ever worked like full-time or anything. Well, I did work full-time in one warehouse job, but Lil Nicker says, thoughts on vids of, what is this? Of Southeast Asians building things with mud. I don't know what that means. Bigfoot says, put parental advisory on the computer to block something. Yeah. ASDF says, Catholics developed the biblical canon. Exactly. Blake says, where does he say? Peter was not the first pope. Okay. James says, where does it say in the Bible that one should follow only what's in the Bible? Nowhere, so why Protestants constantly bring up this point? Yeah, I guess. Billy says, Calvinist, literally any argument. Me, you are predestined to say that. LOL, debunked. That's funny. JM says, it's interesting how all the Zoomer right-wing Reddit subs get banned, but the subs like debate alt-right. Stick Around, which is full of people who constantly talk about and support Eric Stryker and Richard Spencer. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, this argument of like, oh, they're not banned, so they must be controlled. I mean, it's not very compelling because obviously I haven't been banned from like Twitter and YouTube and whatever else. To me, it just shows that there's a very ad hoc implementation of these rules or application of the rules. That's not systematic. And maybe there's some of that going on, but I mean, obviously, some people are based and they don't get banned. Some people are not based and they do get banned. You know, like Laura Loomer got banned, right? Jacob Wall got banned. Milo got banned from everything, right? So it's like, to me, it's not really a great barometer of like, oh, well, if you get banned, you must be, like, red-pilled. And if you're not banned, well, then you're, like, controlled. Because there are some people that are, like, Zionists that do get banned, or some people that are controlled that get banned, and there are some people at base that don't. So, to me, that's kind of flimsy. Let's see. Electric says, hey, big guy, my birthday's tomorrow. Love your show. Well, happy birthday. Victor says, easy, Nick. We call them heretics. They go against the Bible. They aren't sola scriptura. We find better churches. I think the Catholics are stuck. I don't know who you're referring to. Southern Israelites says, if Peter is the rock, why is that James decides the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 while Peter was present? Well, why is Peter? Why was Peter's name changed from Simon, and Peter is literally like a Greek pun for rock? You know, why would Jesus Christ rename Simon Peter? These people are renamed throughout the Bible, right? Somebody's renamed Israel. People are renamed all different kinds of things. Why would Simon be renamed Peter, Peter meaning rock, and then Jesus would say, you're the rock on which I build my church? Peter is also the most prominent character in the New Testament. He's mentioned, I think, as much as all the other disciples combined. Why would Peter be given the power to bind and loose sins and so on? So I've heard this kind of argument from Orthodox people before. They're like, well, what about in Acts? In Acts, other you know, people are given powers. Well, but nobody is nearly as prominent as Peter. Nobody's given the keys. Nobody's said to be the rock. Nobody's name was changed from Simon to Peter. So these are all silly arguments, but, you know, you really should ask classical theists, because I'm not the expert here. But, I mean, these things are pretty easy to debunk on their face. Well, what about this? What about that? Well, then why did your church get sacked by Saracens then? You know, as long as we're going to get technical. R.A. says, you're so right. I knew so many cucks in college that stayed friends with people who ruined their lives. It was mind-blowing when I realized the power that I had simply because I was willing to walk away. It's exactly right. Got to be willing to walk away from everything, really. Except for God. Delacroix says, well, you provoked me, says Nick. Yeah. Blake says, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away share in the tree of life and in the holy city. Phil says, Taylor Swift called out Soros in her speech. Based? Did she? ASDF says, I teased girls in school and many of them liked me, but that's also probably because of my superior Nordic facial features. Adam says, you didn't read the rest of my super chat. Michelle has, okay, I'm not reading that. Let's see, we've got one more here from, let me see if I can find it. Here we go. One more from Catholic Patriot. He says, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's theories explain how individual actions are connected physically to reality as a whole. There is no private sin or virtue. I've never heard of this, but I will look it up. Okay, well, that's our last super chat. That's going to do it for us tonight on the show and for this week. Remember to sign up for my email list, because I've been saying all week, I don't know how much longer I have. You see, the terms of service have changed here. The community guidelines have changed on YouTube. So I don't know how much longer I have. If you want to, and this is all it is, if you want to have any information about where I'll be if I get banned from YouTube, the only way to follow through with me or follow me after I get banned, if that happens, is by subscribing to my email list. So if you go to NicholasJFuentes.com, it should pop up right away. You put your email in. If not, if you just get to the webpage, you go on the top left corner, it says email list. You click on that, you put in your email. That's the only way I'm able to reach you. And as I've said before, I don't sell the email list. I haven't used it. The last time I used it was June 2018 to send out a notice about the premium show program. But I'll only be using it to tell people like, hey, I got banned, follow me here. So be sure to do that. Follow me on Telegram at t.me/NickJFuentes1. That's the second best way to keep up with me. Remember to subscribe to my channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes, as always. Thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you, and I will see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and have a great rest of your evening.